The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Friday, May 3rd. We go to True Beauty Concepts, where Kathy is for Kathy's Cuts. And good morning to you, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a former volunteer soccer coach for the Special Olympics has been charged with raping one of his adult male players. 28-year-old Michael Sheldon of Reading is being held in the Berks County Jail on $250,000 bail for the alleged assault, which occurred last July. The victim told police he was watching television with Sheldon in his apartment on South 19th Street when Sheldon asked him if he wanted to fool around. According to the court documents, the victim told Sheldon no. According to court documents, Sheldon then allegedly got into bed and assaulted the victim. In an interview with detectives in August, Sheldon denied having any sexual contact with the man, but he did admit to kissing him on several occasions. The Special Olympics of Pennsylvania released this statement of the incident. Special Olympics Pennsylvania is aware of the charges the district attorney has made against former volunteer Mike Sheldon. Although the alleged incidents do not involve us, immediately upon being made aware of the allegations during the summer, the Special Olympics Pennsylvania suspended Mr. Sheldon from any activity with the organization. As this matter is with the authorities, we cannot comment further at this time.
It's just sickening.
Right? Absolutely awful. Police in New Jersey are investigating a case of road rage where a man shattered a window of a school bus while there were children on the bus. The incident reported on April 19th, just before 3 p.m. on Ramtown Greenville Road in Hopewell Township, while the bus still had a handful of kids between the ages of 5 and 8 on board. Police said Tuesday a passenger in an older silver or white-colored sedan with faded paint got into a confrontation with the driver of the school bus. Kathy Anderson, a school bus driver for 32 years, says she was trying to make a left-hand turn. When she thought it was clear, she pulled out. As I did, the car was coming up the road, she said, and the driver locked up his brakes, so the car kind of fishtailed a little bit. It all went downhill from there. She says the passenger in the other vehicle immediately resorted to obscenities and violence. The passenger approached the school bus on the driver's side and began yelling at her before punching the window and causing it to shatter. Anderson said the driver and passenger in the other vehicle were young, probably teenagers. Police were called, and eventually another bus took the frightened kids back home. They said that the kids were shaken up. Some of them were crying. Anderson said she was scared as well. Police said the driver of the vehicle is not accused of any crimes, but investigators reviewed surveillance video to identify the passenger. 18-year-old Keith Halbauer turned himself into police on Wednesday after detectives contacted him about his involvement with the incident. He's charged with one count of criminal mischief and released on summons with pending a court date. Here we go again. Nearly a dozen cars had their tires slashed in Philadelphia. A single mother spoke to ABC and said she was stranded at her home Wednesday after a knife-wielding vandal slashed nearly a dozen parked cars in the 3600 block of Aspen Street. Surveillance video shows the suspect acting alone, so it was just one person. But 20 blocks away on Media Street between 54th and 61st, Philadelphia police say that three men slashed the tires of about 50 parked cars back in March. Given the distance, detectives don't believe this latest incident is related, but residents on Aspen Street worry this brazen vandal could return and strike again. You guys know, I mean, this is just...
It's one of the ultimate dick moves.
Yeah, like, it's just tires, but, like, this single mother came out, and she couldn't get to work because her tires were slashed.
And tires are not cheap.
No.
Tires are expensive, yeah.
Even cheap tires are not cheap.
Yeah.
Hey, if you buy the tire insurance and your tire gets slashed...
It's a good question.
I think it'd probably be covered under... Maybe your... Is it covered under auto insurance? Is it covered under your home insurance?
No. I remember...
Because I have tire replacement...
That I bought with my car.
Package,
yeah. But I don't believe it includes having them slashed. I don't know.
I remember getting that tire package and having to replace all four tires of my car at one point, and none of them were covered under the package.
Yeah, it's usually pretty specific.
Yeah, it's not like a wear and tear thing. It's like if you hit a pothole thing.
That's usually what it's for. And then I also have the package for the rims. You hit the sidewalk or something, yeah.
So anyone with information about this tire slashing incident is asked to contact police at 215-686-TIPS. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Ball sacks are yummy. Oh.
The Sixers easily beat the Toronto Raptors last night. Game 3 in South Philly.
They did it!
Joel Embiid scored 33 points and had a double-double to lead the Sixers to a 116-95 win over the Raptors.
They did it!
2-1 lead in the Eastern Conference semifinal series. Jimmy Butler added 22 points and was one assist and one rebound short of a triple-double. Game 4 is Sunday afternoon at the Center. Tip-off is set for 3:30. The Phillies were off last night and returned to action tonight as they open up a weekend series at home against the Washington Nationals. The Phils are in first place in the National League East, a game and a half in front of the Mets and 4.5 in front of the Nationals. Former Philly Jeremy Hellickson will get the start for the Nats, and Jared Eichhoff will go for the Phils. First pitch is scheduled for 7:05. In the NHL, the Boston Bruins beat the Blue Jackets 4-1 in Game 4 last night in Columbus, and even that series at 2 games apiece. And in the Western Conference, the Colorado Avalanche shut out the San Jose Sharks, winning 3-0 in Game 4 in Denver. That series is also tied at 2. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. I have to begin that I'm a little bit hurt today because... Sometimes we have these things called a meet and eat here at the Preston and Steve Show, and I saw on my info sheet this morning, meet and eat, Panera Bread. Panera Bread is providing food at Kathy's Cuts this morning, not here in our studio.
So the table was set up for nothing here.
Yeah. Oh, you got all excited.
Wait a minute, Marissa. Wait, hold on.
I don't think so.
Marissa?
I think Kathy made special arrangements to have Panera dropped off here, guys. Yay!
Did you, Kath? Is this true?
Marissa, I did.
I love you.
Thank you.
I did it!
Okay, now I feel better.
Hold on. That was a question for Marissa.
What was? What?
My question was, I did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I think she was, what?
You did.
You did.
Okay, I did. All right, I did, guys.
I did it!
Listen. Ladies and gentlemen. Provisions have been made to feed us because we're wasting away to nothing.
Well, listen, we have some guests this morning, and I thought it would be nice, you know. But anyhow, Panera Bread is going to be supplying food. Where you are, Kathy's Cuts is going on. I can hear that buzz of activity in the background, Kath.
Yeah, you know what? Everybody's ready to go. They have their fluorescent green T-shirts on. That's our T-shirt color this year. So all of the stylists have arrived. They're kind of getting their stations set up, and I see the first set of donors sitting in the waiting room. So, yeah, we're going to get underway any minute.
All right, cool. And this is at True Beauty Concepts on Southampton. In Southampton. Yeah, Street Road in Southampton. Trying to get all this right.
You're blown away by the Panera news.
My head's spinning a little bit still. I'm so excited, to be honest.
Ladies and gentlemen, food will be provided to the Preston and Steve Show.
It's always a good thing. So we'll be checking in with you through the course of the morning, Kath, just to see how things are going. Cool?
Great. Sounds good. Yeah.
All right. And are any TV stations coming out today?
Yeah. So you know what? We're going to be on in about a half an hour with NBC 10, and then at 9:15, Fox 29 is coming out.
Awesome. Okay, cool. We'll check back in a bit, Kathy.
Great. Sounds good.
All right.
Good.
So that is one of the things that is happening today. And yes, we have some guests in the studio. It'll be nice to feed him because Jason Kelce.
He's a big man.
He's a big man.
Got to have an appetite.
He needs nourishment.
Absolutely.
And he's in to talk about the Eagles Autism Challenge, which is coming up May 17th and May 18th. And we'll get the full information from him a little bit later on. We also have rapper and actor Common, who's going to be getting in touch today.
An author.
He's got a new book. That's right. Let Love Have the Last Word. So he's going to be talking about that. And, of course, he's filmed in Philadelphia before. He's been here. Actually, in our studio before.
John Wick 2.
Yeah, that's true. They didn't shoot that in Philadelphia.
No.
But, all right. So, anyhow.
They shot everything else.
We'll talk to him later on today. And we've got our Word of the Week prize to give away. We have a movie screening, of which is next week. You know,
it's a Monday, right?
Yeah, I can give these away right now. Yeah. So we've got the Pokemon Detective Pikachu. And let's go ahead and take 8 callers and put you on our list at 215-263-WMMR. It's Monday at the UA Riverview at 7:30 p.m. So let's get you on board for that call right now. And we'll do some more giveaways when we return, because I'll get into the stupid question, the entertainment report, and all that. And we'll keep checking back in with Kathy. I do want to remind you, though, that Panera Bread has been part of Kathy's Cuts for this is their third year doing it.
And we can't thank them enough for that.
And the Panera Bread food as it should be. Now delivering, by the way. So just giving you a heads up and go to PaneraBread.com. So these things and more are taking place. We're going to break. We'll be back in just a second. Stay with us this morning.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket.
Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR. Now. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, Kathy's cuts, wigs for kids, the whole thing. Have people started getting their hair removed for this yet, Kath?
Yep. So, the first appointments started at 6:30. They're just sitting in their seats. Of course, right off the bat, we've got little kids here already. And, yeah, we're sitting them down in the chairs, and they're getting ready to go. Gravity Hair Salon, David Arnold Hair Salon. And new this year is Tierre Hair Salon, who is right here in the area. They're right around the corner. So, they're helping us out. We're at True Beauty Concepts. Panera has arrived here. I don't know if it's back at the studio for you guys yet, but it's here for all of our donors. And Metro Beverage of Philadelphia also providing some drinks for everybody this morning.
All right, cool, man. We'll check back in, maybe meet some people who are getting their hair chopped this morning.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? Some people, if you didn't have a chance, I got a few emails, you know, people who wanted to come out and the schedule just didn't work. But wigsforkids.org is the website. You can go there. You can, you know, find a salon that will cut the hair for you. It'll give you all kinds of, you know, directions on what to do and how to donate. So if you couldn't make it out today, you can still go to their website and donate.
All right, cool. Excellent. We'll check back in with Kathy, Wigs for Kids, and Kathy's Cuts taking place as we speak. And in fact, you can look online. We have a video.
Yeah, it's very impressive. It's like a military operation.
Yeah,
impressive.
And I love the inside of that building. It's so cool. It's like an old farmhouse that they added on to, and it's got a really cool, rustic look about it. So
they've been very gracious to allow this to happen for the past couple of years.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so let's see. We're going to do a stupid question. Welcome Marissa Magnata.
Yay!
Studio. She's going to be in here with us. So let's see. We're going to do the stupid question. Today we're going to give away an Avengers Endgame prize pack. And we're going to ask this question. Shrek was the first winner for what inaugural category of the Academy Awards in 2001?
Shrek.
This should be pretty easy. Yes. 215-263-WMMR. Shrek was the first winner of what inaugural category at the Academy Awards, and that was in 2001. So call right now. Some birthdays to mention on Friday, May 3rd. It is Christina Hendricks' birthday. We had her on not that long ago.
She's the ultimate sort of curvy, you know, old Hollywood style.
A siren.
Absolutely. And she was great on Mad Men.
Yeah, and
beautiful red hair. She's stunning eyes.
Yeah,
she's got the whole package. Yep.
She's in a show on Netflix. I believe it started on Sundance, but now it lives on Netflix if you wanted to find it. It's called Happen Leonard. I really, really enjoyed that first season that she's in. I think there's three seasons, so.
Leonard Part 6, what did you say it was?
Happen Leonard.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Happen Leonard.
I watched that other show she's on, too, with the three girls that robbed the grocery store.
It's not bad.
No, yeah, I watched it on the plane. It's pretty cute.
It's got a good sense of humor to it.
Happy 44 to her today. Greg Gumbel, sportscaster, brother of Bryant Gumbel, I believe.
Yeah. All right, and Les Douchey.
He is 73, so is he the older of the two?
I think so.
I always thought he was younger.
Yes, so did I. Too. Yeah. So how old is Bryant then?
It's a good question.
I'll look it up.
One we may never know the answer to, but I know that Greg Gumbel is 73.
And Bryant is 70.
Okay.
Oh, the older one.
So Greg is the older brother. And where, anybody know where he currently?
Who, Bryant or Greg?
No, Greg.
Greg does football and stuff.
Because Bryant I watch on Real Sports.
Yeah,
which
right.
is great. I am not deep into sports at all. I'm just a surface sports guy, and that is one of the best run programs I've ever seen.
They make it interesting to the neophyte. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, so Greg, they did one not too long ago about ice fishing.
Oh, did they?
And it was.
I would love to see that.
It was great.
If they can make that a very boring sport interesting.
And they found this guy who is so fanatical and crazy, over the top, excited about ice fishing. It was hilarious.
Cool.
Well, I was actually talking to a woman yesterday. Her name is Katina, who she did some schooling in northern Minnesota. And she was talking about how exciting ice fishing is.
Okay.
Well, maybe next season we go out ice fishing.
Greg Gumbel is 73. Then you have Bobby Cannavale. Excuse me. He's been in lots of stuff. He's an Ant-Man?
Yeah. He's the stepdad.
He's great. Oh, my God. I love how He changes his tone in the second movie.
It's so good.
He's so
awesome. And how he changes in the first movie.
Yeah,
when he proves that he's a good guy, and you just watched him in Jumanji, right?
He's the villain that. Yeah, so, yeah, great actor. He's 49 today. And then the last birthday, Frankie Valli, lead singer of the Four Seasons. When we had the Geeter in here one time, he's like, hey, you guys want to talk to Frankie Valli? Sure.
Yes.
So he just called him up, and he was on the West Coast, too. It was super early in the morning.
Yeah.
Talk to freaking Frankie Valli.
I know.
Were you a big fan?
That's not him singing.
I know, but it's the only freaking Four Seasons song we have in the thing.
Big Four Seasons fan. Absolutely. I actually, one time, I was at, and I'll forget who this was. I was at Benari Jewelers, and I was talking to a guy that worked there. He said, a guy or girl, this is how long it was. And we got on a conversation, and this person goes, yeah, my dad was in the Four Seasons. I'm like,
what?
I'm sorry.
What?
You mean, you know, Ragdoll and Big Girls Don't Cry and all that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he wrote a lot of those songs. I was like, you've got to be kidding
me. Is he the dude?
So sent me a full box set DVD of all the Four Seasons music, and I spent all this time going through it all again. I'm like, this was really, really great stuff.
So in Jersey Boys, there's the guy who's the main songwriter. Was that who it was?
Who wrote Short Shorts before being a part of the Four Seasons. I don't remember.
Yeah, because there's one guy who's sort of the Brian Wilson of the Four Seasons, writes 90% of the hits.
Like most people, I was really just familiar with Frankie Valli.
Yeah.
And that's it, you know.
I did not care for the movie. However,
Did like the movie.
However, on Broadway, it's like my favorite show.
Is it?
I was dancing through the streets of New York after I saw it. I loved it.
How about those old bitches that wouldn't shut up talking while you went to it? Wasn't that you?
No, that wasn't me. Was
okay,
it?
Then who was it?
Me? It might have been me, but you know what? The magic of the performance.
It just overwhelmed the old bitches.
I know somebody who was at a show, and these older ladies were sitting in front of them, and they wouldn't shut up the whole time, and even... So I thought it was you.
It might listen. It might have been me, but my memory ain't what it used to be.
That's all good.
Got a touch of the dementia.
Not getting any younger.
Yeah.
Frankie Valli is 85.
He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Frankie Valli, with the Four Seasons.
Yeah, they were among the early inductees.
1990, they got inducted. Yeah.
And then last birthday, another musical one, Steve, Christopher Cross.
Christopher Cross.
Sailing, take me away. He had three huge hits. That was one of them, Ride Like the Wind, and then Arthur's theme, Best That You Can Do. And for a time, he was way on top of the charts, man.
I don't know if you remember this, Preston, but there was a time when the songs started to come out and people would just loved them and they were sort of romantic. And then he made a live appearance on an award show, and people finally saw him.
He was fat.
He just looked weird, and it just, I think it just, and even he says it sort of killed his career after that.
Really?
Yeah, but the guy could write songs.
Yeah, he played a big part in the behind the scenes of A Star Is Born.
Did he?
Yeah, because Bradley Cooper. Did you guys see it yet?
Yeah, I love it.
I haven't. I need to see it.
Bradley Cooper played on stage like before and after his shows at Leeds Festival and a lot of the country festivals.
Okay.
So he was playing to Christopher Cross's crowd, and I think maybe his son was a writer on the movie as well too, with some of the music.
All right.
Well, so there's a lot of his influence over that.
68 years old today, so happy birthday! Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Shrek was the first winner of what inaugural category of the Academy Awards, and this was in 2001. 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I will go to, let's go to Kel for the answer. Hey, Kel.
Dirk
to you. I know, jumping the gun a little bit there, Kel. I know you're excited, but it's all good, and I appreciate the love, but tell me what was the Shrek was first winner of what inaugural category in 2001?
Okay, best animated film?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah!
Yeah, once we got to 2001, the Academy realized, hey, the animated movies are pretty good.
They would do special awards,
but
it was never a fixed category.
All right, Kel, hang on, because we do have a movie prize for you, an Avengers Endgame prize pack, including a pair of Admit One Fandango tickets to see the film, a lunchbox, T-shirt, sunglasses, and more. Plus,
God, I want that freaking thing.
A pair of tickets to see Marvel Universe of Superheroes now at the Franklin Institute, and you can explore Marvel's legacy through immersive set pieces, original artwork, movie props, costumes, and more. An exhibit for the hero and all of us. You can get tickets today at fi.edu. Sad news from the world of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Peter Mayhew, who became known to fans worldwide as the lovable Wookiee Chewbacca has died. He was 74 years old. Mayhew's death comes just days before Star Wars Day. Of course, May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Which is
that wild?
Yeah. The actor died Tuesday in his North Texas home with his family by his side. His official Twitter account shared the news on Thursday. He had undergone spinal surgery in July in an effort to improve his mobility. People of that size, as they get older, really have difficulty with mobility.
I've seen him twice, maybe three times at these conventions, and he was always hunched over, sitting, a cane, the whole deal. Yeah, and in fact, they succumb a lot to heart issues, which is what Peter Mayhew had.
The London native played Chewbacca in Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, and The Force Awakens. He had done some minor acting. He played a Minotaur in the Ray Harryhausen fantasy Sinbad and The Eye of the Tiger,
which I saw.
Yeah, I've seen him too.
Yeah.
And was working as a hospital orderly when he tried out for the part of Chewbacca. He got the role based on his physique. George Lucas was in desperate need of someone who would be able to play taller than Darth Vader. In his prime, Mayhew stood at 7'3". After wrapping the first Star Wars, he went back to work as an orderly and didn't leave that job for good until the release of Return of the Jedi.
By that time, he figured he was good.
Well, after which he made a living off of Chewbacca becoming the, doing the conventions.
Oh, yeah.
So,
always at the conventions.
Yeah, Mayhew acted as a key mentor to Finnish actor Junis Suotomo, who we had here in the studio. And he was in Force Awakens scenes as Chewbacca. Suotomo took over the mantle permanently in 2017's Last Jedi. A private memorial for Mayhew will take place June 29th, and there will be a gathering for fans at Empire Con LA in December.
Not, with someone that tall, I assume, do they always have a few 7-foot-plus coffins at the ready, or are there custom,
I gotta believe they're custom, man.
Yeah. It's not like they have a double XL.
Yeah, I don't know what his final plans were, though.
He seems like one of those guys that kind of struggled with being this iconic character for a while.
And he clearly
did. Maybe took it personally and was identified as nothing but being Chewbacca for a stretch. And then I think he came around. I think towards the end of his life, he really embraced it. I think he liked going to the fan interaction things. And
I'd like to think so, Nick, because to that point, every time I saw him, he looked like he was pissed off.
Yeah, right? And I think that he probably was for a stretch. I mean, he was identified for being one thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even him. It was, it was a costume. That
it was a carpet. Wearing.
Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, but you could say, hey, you could either be known as Chewbacca or an orderly.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe you take your pick. So he is survived by his wife, Angie, and three children. So sad news today. Hey, for Kelly Clarkson, the show must and did go on after hosting the Billboard Music Awards in Vegas for the second consecutive year. She cut her celebration short and underwent surgery to get her appendix removed.
Oh, my God.
Kelly Clarkson!
Did it rupture?
No, it didn't. It was an emergency surgery.
Okay.
But still, So she confirmed the news on Twitter on Thursday, explaining that she had broken down in tears after the show from pain and immediately flew back home once the award show wrapped on Wednesday night. She also shared that she had the surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in L.A. first thing on Thursday morning. I mean, like, the next day. So she had to have been...
She's a trooper.
...in pain pulling that off.
Preston, she displayed the kind of pluck I saw when I watched From Justin to Kelly.
I'm sure.
Because even though everything was trying to drive those two apart, in the end, love prevailed.
She had been experiencing intense appendicitis pain for the last week or so.
If you know anyone who's ever had an appendix or an appendicitis or the appendix rupture or whatever, it is incredibly painful. My mother had it years ago. Oh, that's right.
I had it in France.
That's right.
Yeah, I had it removed. I passed out on the Eiffel Tower. It's the worst pain that I had as a kid, and maybe subsequent pain has been worse, but it's awful.
Fortunately for you, Howard Hessman saved your life.
Yes. Yeah. He jumped in and performed triage.
Yeah.
Gave you a tracheotomy.
Yeah.
So it was the same trip, right?
It was the same trip. Howard Hessman is a douchebag.
All right.
Do Did the pain come on you instantly or?
No.
Okay.
No.
And you just felt it mounting.
Yeah. And I didn't even know. I was in France and I didn't even know what appendicitis was. And they're trying to explain to me in French what this thing that was that I was going through. But what I did know was that I had this intense abdominal pain and it got worse. Mm. So when I passed out on the Eiffel Tower, it was because it was at the beginning stages of the appendicitis. My appendix fortunately did not burst. I got into the hospital in time before it was removed.
Well, Kelly Clarkson likely won't be down for long. She intends to return to The Voice in just a few days for Monday's live show.
What a trooper!
The Reynolds household is about to get even livelier.
I don't get it.
Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, they revealed that she's pregnant with a third child when she stepped out in New York for the premiere of Pokemon Detective Pikachu on Thursday wearing a yellow dress, which hugged her baby bump. Lively also posed alongside Ryan Reynolds, and a rep for the actress did not immediately respond to people's request for comment. But the couple, who wed in 2012, are already parents of 4-year-old daughter James and 2-year-old daughter Inez. But I saw the picture. She looks phenomenal.
You know, you forget that he had been married briefly to Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, yep. Reynolds and Lively have built a cozy life outside of Hollywood for their adorable brood, making their home in Bedford, New York.
Totes adorbs.
Their focus is on family. And Reynolds recently told people he and Lively won't work at the same time in order to keep their family together. He said, Blake and I don't do movies at the same time. She's doing a movie in Thailand and I'm doing a movie in Vancouver. We would just never see each other. We operate as a unit and that works really well for us.
Did you see what he's getting for his movie that he's doing for Netflix? $20 million.
Wow.
So Netflix doesn't pay. They don't pay points because when you do a movie for Netflix, it doesn't open in theaters. So the salary gets paid all up front.
Wow.
Old school.
He said the kids stay with us and the family stays together, and that is where home is. So if we're in Spain or Utah or New York, as long as we're together, we are home. Though Reynolds is currently outnumbered, that doesn't mean that he's hoping for a boy this time around. He had told people, having a daughter was a dream come true for me. If I could have 9 daughters, I'd be thrilled. Really, like I genuinely would be. So they got another one on the way.
Could you imagine if you were a boy and your dad was Deadpool?
That'd be so cool.
Yeah. That is a cool thing.
Miss USA was crowned last night, and it's Miss North Carolina Chelsea Crist. After Miss Oklahoma Trina Brown was named second runner-up, and Miss New Mexico Alejandra Gonzalez was named first runner-up, Crist was crowned Miss USA 2019.
I was watching it last night. They kept it to just 2 hours. Was it live? I had to be live last night, right?
Because I believe so,
they seem
yeah.
like super yeah. on everything. It was just moving and moving and moving.
These things come and go now, and like
they don't even know. You don't even know.
I honestly can't believe this pageant still exists. I mean, in this day and age, I'm surprised.
Well, you had Nick and Vanessa Lachey as your hosts. Who was it? T-Pain was the musical.
Oh, yeah, they got T-Pain.
hey, man, he had a huge resurgence after The Masked Singer, by the way.
Yeah, okay. So T-Pain was there, and they just kept it moving. I'll tell you who looked stunning, actually, Miss Pennsylvania.
Did she?
Yeah, she was really, really gorgeous. I thought she might have had a shot.
Crist, a full-time attorney that is licensed to practice law in 2 states, according to her Miss USA bio, was crowned by her predecessor, Miss USA 2018, Sarah Rose Summers. This year, the winner was chosen by a selection committee, which was comprised of accomplished female entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Business. We have the chorus getting it. Which was comprised of accomplished female entrepreneurs, business leaders, and industry experts, including former pageant winners.
Oh, you know what, Preston? It was amazing as they went through everyone. I kept saying, I don't know him, I don't know her, I don't know him. Nobody!
The contestants included women working in numerous fields such as journalists, entrepreneurs, and a physical operations specialist in the U.S. Army Reserve, doctoral students, active and aspiring attorneys, and first-generation Americans, among others.
God,
what a patriotic night.
God bless us, everyone.
That was in Reno, by the way, that they did. So they
Reno.
Reno.
And Reno.
Reno.
It could coming to you live from Chester, Pennsylvania.
Couldn't get Vegas. Wow. All right, moving on.
Coming to you from Croydon.
where naked people roam the streets.
From the public library at Croydon.
29-year-old Liam Hemsworth tells GQ Australia that he is ready to start a family with Miley Cyrus someday, though.
Oh, knock it off.
He said, once, listen to this, he says, once we don't have so many dogs, they'll start working on a family.
What are they banging the dogs right now?
He said, you couldn't bring a baby into our house right now. But one day, we'll know when it's right. But right now, not for the time being. How many? 10, 15, maybe 20.
We have to wait for the dogs to die.
Once all our dogs are dead, we can bring children into the house.
Speaking of bringing children into the house, Buckingham Palace issued a statement regarding the whereabouts of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's offspring. Because so many royal fans are convinced that she secretly gave birth already.
Oh, my God.
What? Yeah, on Thursday, the palace said that the baby has not yet been born and that they will update media outlets when he or she has.
Could you keep something like that a secret?
No. No, not when you're one of the most public couples in the world.
Even if you go to the greatest lengths possible, someone somewhere is going to pay one of the tabloids will pay them for the information, and that's how that stuff gets out.
In other royal news, Meghan and Harry sent kind wishes to Princess Charlotte, that's William and Kate's daughter, on her birthday. They wrote on Instagram, "Happy birthday, Charlotte. Lots of love, HNMXO."
They sent her a BB gun.
Charlotte is 4 years old today, by the way. Or she was on her birthday. Hey, it took 55 night shoots to complete the Battle of Winterfell in Game of Thrones. That was the last episode.
Wow.
It was called The Long Night.
You said all takes place throughout the one night.
And it's very, very, very dark if you haven't seen it yet. And by that, I don't mean the tone of it, which it is. But I mean the actual visual experience. It's really dark and it's hard to see a lot of things. So they shot all that at night for 55 nights. And Emilia Clarke was on Jimmy Kimmel, and she said, hold on to your hats, basically, because if you thought that episode 3 of the final season was crazy, she said, just wait, episode 5 is actually bigger. So not this weekend, but the following weekend. She said episode 5 is, she said, I mean, 4 and 5 and 6, they are all insane.
Is 6 the final episode?
Yeah, that's it.
So, wow.
Yeah, we're almost
are
done.
You, is it bittersweet as far as you're concerned right
Very
now?
Very much so. But I'm holding on to the fact that they are planning on doing another series that will be way, 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 way in the past and goes back to the origins of Westeros and so forth. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'll tell you this right now. I'm going to dive in and go back to the beginning for a third time and
really
watch it all again. It is that good, so, in my opinion.
The question here, and I will, once it's wrapped up, I will jump in. Is the Khaleesi going to be a bad girl so she can win over Jon Snow at the end of the carnival?
Like in Greece.
In Greece.
Yeah, and then they're going to fly away on their dragon.
Yeah, the dragon. I don't know. Maybe she'll change.
Who knows?
Yeah. The finale is the same weekend as Emma Barbecue.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because
it's not the same day, thank God.
No. So we'll have that on Saturday and then a big Sunday for you as well.
Yeah.
So
will you stay up?
Oh, yeah.
And watch that one?
For the last one, yeah, okay. For sure. Yeah.
So what? Okay. All right. Are you going to have a party?
No, okay. I'd rather
sit with it yourself.
Yeah, I'd rather just, you know, be alone where I can pay attention and that's I don't need to have company.
Do you want a big blowout ending or do you want a reflective,
like a clip show?
Yeah,
where everybody like walks
and
in.
Bloopers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey everybody, it's Bob Hope. I want to tell you.
I would like the last half of it to wind down. I don't want it to be, you know, like Karate Kid, where it ends with bum bum bum, yeah. Movie's over.
Sweep the dragon.
You know, yeah, exactly. Sweep the dragon. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's going to be filled with. I'm not expecting it to be tied up in a neat little bow at all. I think the nature of this series
is going to be sloppy,
is to throw you off, and that something really horrible is going to happen, along with something. It's going to be triumph and tragedy together, but that's just my.
What if the tragedy is more along a financial thing where they lose a lot of their 401ks?
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Well, listen, that hurts in the long run.
It hurts in the long run.
So I'll
be curious to see what the viewing audience is for final episode.
I'm definitely excited. So she says, but episode 5 is gigantic. So we'll see. Law and Order creator Dick Wolf has finalized his
Wolf Dick. Is Wolf Dick here?
Do you know what that actually? I almost have a a Pavlovian response to that. Do you know why?
Okay.
Because when you hear that at Great Wolf Lodge, that means that the wave pool is about to start up.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
So, hey, let's go. Start heading to the wave pool.
I was noticing you were putting on your bathing cap.
And I had my water wings ready to go. But
and that's exactly what they play?
It sounds just like that. Wow. So as soon as you hear that, everybody to the wave pool!
The Great Wolf Lodge would like to announce the activation of the wave pool.
There are a lot of people listening right now that had the same reaction that I did. So anyhow, Dick Wolf has finalized his divorce from his wife, Noelle, a few months after he filed for separation. Listen to the numbers here. So despite a prenup, they already have a prenup.
Right. They took the precaution.
He opted to give her $100,000 in support. Here,
$100,000?
Yeah, but I don't know if that's a month or what. But listen to this. Wolf reportedly makes $15 million a month.
$15 million a month.
$15 million.
I believe it.
A month.
With all those shows in syndication, there's always, at some point on every television on the planet, there's an episode of Law and Order, some version of it running.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you're talking about all of the syndication money, which is coming in on shows that have already been on with no overhead, and then the continuation of the other ones, it's an empire.
Yeah. Yep. So
$15 million a month.
Yep.
We're lucky if we see that in 2 months.
That is amazing. All right. What else? I gotta move it along here. How about
play the wolf sound again?
Yeah, here we go.
Get him nostalgic.
Then you hear the water starts moving, and everybody's excited. How about this? Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is going to premiere at the Cannes Film Festival and compete. This comes after many were surprised the film didn't make it on the list of pictures unveiled last month. Margot Robbie plays Sharon Tate. Leonardo DiCaprio plays Rick Dalton. Brad Pitt is Cliff Booth. Dakota Fanning is playing Squeaky Fromm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Al Pacino is set as Marvin Schwarz. I don't know who that is. Some of these characters are made up, by the way. And Damian Lewis will play Steve McQueen. In the film,
which that's good casting.
Tells the story of Hollywood's golden age and its intersection with the Charles Manson cult.
You know, I'm very much looking forward to this movie.
Khan also added Mektub. I don't know what that is.
A giant robot.
My Love Intermezzo by somebody whose name I can't pronounce.
Try it.
Abdelatif Kachichi.
Nailed it.
To the lineup. And this year's festival marks 25th anniversary, by the way, of Pulp Fiction.
So is this going to be Quentin Tarantino's last film?
He said he was going to make 10 and then maybe bail.
So is this 9?
So I think this might be 9, Steve. I'm not 100% sure on that, and I'm not sure if the whole what was the one that had
Grindhouse or whatever,
if Grindhouse counts as a full feature film or not.
That's a good point.
So
I know he's making the he's signed up for Pikachu 2.
Oh. Why wouldn't he be? That's a guaranteed audience draw. One last story and then we're moving on to the movies. Health officials in Orange County, California are warning moviegoers who attended the April 25th screening event of Avengers Endgame at an AMC theater in Fullerton that they may have been exposed to the measles.
Oh, no. Man.
Yeah, there was an audience member who had measles at the time and didn't realize it.
How awesome.
Patrons are advised to monitor themselves and review their vaccination history.
You go out to the movies and you get measles.
Yeah, how about that? All right, speaking of the movies, let's see what is playing this weekend and what you have an opportunity to get out and see. If you haven't seen Endgame, you should go see that, obviously. But there are other movies opening this weekend, and I will highlight these titles after this musical interlude.
So beautiful.
We'll start with this one. Long Shot opens today. It's a romantic comedy, and it's directed by Jonathan Levine. It stars Seth Rogen, Charlize Theron, Alexander Skarsgård, Andy Serkis, O'Shea Jackson, who we had in our studio this week to promote that, and Bob Odenkirk is in it as well.
I want to see this. It looks so good.
It's getting good reviews. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes, very good.
Oh, good.
So Fred reunites with his first crush, Charlotte, and tries to woo her.
Woo!
With his self-deprecating humor. Rated R, 2 hours and 3 minutes, 85% score at Rotten Tomatoes so far. Also
go.
Opening this weekend is The Intruder. It's a thriller. It's directed by Deon Taylor, stars Dennis Quaid, who we spoke to yesterday, Megan Good, Michael Ealy, and more. It's about a young married couple that buys a house, but the previous owner refuses to let the property go. It's rated PG-13, an hour and 24 minutes, and so far Rotten Tomatoes has the score at 32%.
Now, I think these things are pretty critic-proof.
Yeah.
If you like this kind of thing, you don't. Right. I do, so I'll probably like it.
And then the other movie opening this weekend is Ugly Dolls. It's an animated family film. Stars a lot of people. Kelly Clarkson, Nick Jonas, Pitbull, Ice-T, Blake Shelton, Wanda Sykes, Emma Roberts, Jane Lynch, and Janelle Monáe. The Dolls of Uglyville embrace their true selves.
The Dolls of Uglyville.
Yeah, it's rated PG. Hour and 27 minutes long. It's got a 36% score at Rotten Tomatoes so far.
Wanda Sykes was at my gig last night.
Was she?
Really?
Did you ask her about coming on the show?
No, I couldn't. She was like in a crowd of people. And her wife
where were
was
you
there.
Last night?
I was at Sterling Pig in Westchester, which has a location in Media.
Yes.
Where she lives.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
So.
All right.
But, you know, I laid some groundwork. The she's very good friends with the owners because they are French and her wife is French.
Ooh.
So apparently all the French people there, Sebastian Latou was there. Literally every French person in
Philadelphia. Sebastian Latou was there?
Yes, because he's French, which means he's friends with the owners who are French.
Nick had surgery kind of in France.
Yeah.
So, like,
I'm friends with all those
yeah,
guys.
Absolutely.
I should just text Wanda.
Was Howard Hessman there?
No.
That guy's a douche.
Let's play the clips. In Dead to Me, a widow searching for the driver that killed her husband befriends an eccentric optimist who changes her life. And here, Christina Applegate discusses what she loves about playing this particular character. Here we go.
I love playing, you know, just these amazing characters and this beautiful friendship between these two women, this supportive, bizarre friendship that shouldn't happen in a normal world but does work. I'm also playing these characters that are just completely broken and trying to survive through this life.
I don't give a f***.
Dead to Me arrived at Netflix today. Here's the next clip. The Last Summer is a coming-of-age rom-com that follows a group of teens in their last summer before heading off to college. In this clip, Maia Mitchell discusses what makes the film different than others.
There's so many characters and so many storylines going on that I think that there is a character there for everyone to relate to and pull from. Everyone can kind of connect to something that's happening in the movie. And it is such a universal theme. Like, it's a coming-of-age film about people at a crossroads, you know, figuring out where they want to go post-high school. And I think, you know, whether it's happened to us in the past or it's coming up, you know, that's pretty universal.
Up, huh?
I like that theme, that getting ready to go off to college thing. I always
it's
have.
Been,
it makes me reminisce a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, well, like
time.
We talked about American Graffiti, why that's such a good movie. It's just that same sort of vibe.
Ah. The Last Summer is available on Netflix now, by the way.
I saw the name or the picture come up. Nick had it on IMDb, but yep. She's like the female lead in Teen Beach Movie. And Teen Beach Movie, too. She's okay. Great. Okay, good. I like it, that girl.
All right, well, then go see this movie.
Yes, I will.
Run, don't walk.
Yeah, all right. There you
we'll sell you the whole seat, but
you're only going to need the end.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have in entertainment for you this morning. let's take a break. Don't forget that we have Kathy's Cuts. It's happening throughout the course of the morning. We will check in with her and see how things are going at True Beauty Concepts in Southampton. We have a lot of stuff happening this morning as far as giveaways and so on. And, in fact, is Jason here yet? Do we have our guest here yet?
I do not know.
All right, well, he won't come unless we have Panera, he said.
well, we'll have to check on the status.
All right.
But we are scheduled to have Jason Kelsey in the next break. And we also have actor and rapper and author Common on the program today. And some more stuff coming up. So make sure you stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Jackson's Jeep Club and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram presents MMR's Mudder's Day 2019. Get dirty and get your Jeep on at Bridgeport Speedway, Sweetsboro, New Jersey, Saturday, May 11th. $15 per Jeep gets you in and a go at the custom dirt obstacle courses and mud pits.
Join us for another great day with our Jeeps in the dirt and mud. Plenty of room for spectators, too, with free parking. There'll be hundreds of Jeeps on site, Jeep parts to win, and you can even score MMRBQ tickets. Plus, cool vendors and food trucks, including Two Street Sammy's and DHY Motorsports.
MMR's Mudder's Day with Jackson's Jeep Club at Bridgeport Speedway. Tickets on sale now. WMMR.com for complete details. From Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we're selling excitement. At 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Hey, Kath, I know it's early, but I know that some people make this an annual event. They'll get their hair cut, and then they'll immediately start growing out. And some people can grow their hair quickly.
Yes.
Other people's, it might take a couple of years. Are you seeing any familiar faces from years past yet?
Yeah, you know what? Every year I see a familiar face, and this one family that comes to mind, I actually was thinking about them and wondering if they were coming this year, and sure enough, they were here for one of the first appointments. So it's a grandmother, a mother, and last time they were here, the daughter cut her hair. This time, it's the son. Wow. So, yeah, I mean, we see it all the time, and we just had, to start off the event, this adorable little boy came in. He was 6 and a half. His hair was this beautiful blonde, long hair. He sat down in the chair, and they gave him a mohawk. He looked absolutely adorable. I'm gonna tweet out a picture, put it on social media of him, because he was like the highlight of my morning, and he was in here at 6:30.
Nice. That's awesome. So things are moving along, and you guys have full chairs throughout the course of the morning, right?
Yeah, all the chairs are filled right now. Cool. And actually, I had a special visitor stop by. You guys remember our old intern Donnie?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. She's here with me right now. Donnie, how are you? Donnie actually was diagnosed with breast cancer. When was that?
I was diagnosed in March 2018, 6 days after my 25th birthday. Mm.
And how are you doing now?
I'm doing great. I have one more reconstructive surgery left. I'm going through treatment in January. I'm calling myself a survivor at this point. I feel like a survivor, and everything's really, really great.
Well, you look great, and your hair looks adorable. She has a super short haircut, and she looks wonderful. But she wanted to come out because you wanted to say something. Even though you didn't wear a wig, and you are a little bit older than where these wigs go to for wigs for kids, you did want to say something about the whole process.
Yeah, I mean, when I was going through treatment, I do all my treatment at UPenn, and I would be sitting in a waiting room next to kids sometimes, especially going through radiation. And these kids would, you know, wear hats, and they were really, you know, really wanted wigs, and wigs are very, very expensive. And it's really just bringing normalcy to the kids. Not having hair is identity for a lot of people, boys and girls, and having hair, having a wig, makes you not look sick. Nobody wants to look sick. So it just makes you feel normal. People don't ask questions. So it's just everything that everybody's doing here is so important, so great. And I'm just so happy that I got to stop by and see everything that's going on here. It's really great.
Well, I'm glad that you came by. I'm glad you stopped here. And I'm glad to see that you look so wonderful and that you seem to be feeling okay. You look like you do.
Yeah, I feel great. I feel pretty good. Some days are better than others, but, you know, I'm surviving and thriving every day.
And still all that energy she's got, guys.
Nice. I love it.
That's awesome. Excellent.
All right, Kath, we'll check back in a little bit later on, all right?
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
All right, it's Kathy's Cuts, which is taking place. And Danny was known as Intern Rush.
Yes.
She's one of the female Rush fans.
Big Rush fan.
Big time. So I'm glad that that she's doing well, which is really cool. Let me see. There was something I wanted to mention. I got this pretty cool email. We're waiting on Jason Kelsey. This should be arriving any moment. But I got this from a listener. She says, hey, Preston, Steve, crew, I am a loyal listener going back to Y100. I know that you are fans of Jeopardy, and I want to share that I am appearing in the Teachers Tournament, which begins on Monday.
I love the Teachers Tournament.
And she said, my quarterfinal game is the first to air. So this is next Monday, this coming Monday, in the Philly market. The show airs at 7 p.m. on 6ABC. And it says you can see the trailer for the tournament here. She sent a link. And, yeah, that's me doing the Mary Catherine Gallagher impression. I have to watch it. I haven't seen it yet. She said, before you ask, I did not compete against James Holzhauser. The tournament contestants are all K-12 teachers, specially selected from the contestant pool. Coincidentally, she said, Adam Levine, the man who almost beat James on Monday night, we were talking about him.
From Maroon 5?
No, no, but his name, or no, I'm sorry, not Levine, Adam Levin.
Oh, okay.
It's close. Anyhow, he is a 1990 graduate of the high school where I am a teacher, Wissahickon High School in Ambler.
Wow.
He's the guy that lost by 18 bucks, so he's local.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
He went to school here. I did not know. She said, you guys rock. That is from Mariah
Minja's Klusman, who is a teacher. So she's going to be on Jeopardy on Monday night, which is really
a lot
awesome.
Of people from this area. If you watch Jeopardy a lot, we all do, you notice there's a lot of people from this area, a lot of people from Philadelphia. It's very cool.
I love that show.
They take they're taking a break. I guess it's 2 weeks long for the entire tournament. So James's last appearance for a while will be tonight, and we assume he's probably going to win again tonight.
Yeah, it's probably a safe bet. But he, someday,
yeah,
he will lose.
He'll lose, but he passed whoever to end up in second place last night, all time in number of wins
behind Ken Jennings.
Behind Ken, who was in the '70s.
Wow. All right, I got this other, and I'm just getting to some stuff.
Fine. That's beautiful.
Sorry, the music.
One chord.
Yeah, yeah.
One,
that's what you, the 3 second waltz.
Says it all.
Yeah.
I got this other interesting email. This is something that we talked about, I guess, back in February, because this person lives in Tampa.
Tampa.
And they were listening to the podcast and said that I guess we were talking about getting stuck on planes and also discussing train trips. I was not aware of this. This is pretty cool. And she says, I just wanted to share this. The auto train from D.C. to Orlando is effing fantastic, she said. It's what all the snowbirds use. She said, I used it when I moved to Tampa. I drove to the train station and my car was boarded on the train. I got a sleeper car and you can bring anything you want on the train. I brought a box of wine and snacks. They serve meals and have showers. I just drank and watched Netflix, and it was about $500 for me and my car. And I packed my car with all my stuff, and it was way cheaper than driving a U-Haul or shopping for stuff and driving down. And it takes about 12-ish hours. And she says, awesome. Thought I would share. You guys rock. Go Birds. And that is from Kristen Gratz. I've never heard of
it. I always loved the concept of the auto train. They used to run commercials for the auto train.
And really?
So many people would tell me, oh, no, don't do the auto train. Like as if it's some sort of nightmare experience, and then you have this email, and for $500 you get your car down there.
I don't know why you
have to rent a car.
Why I've never heard of
it. It's just
before.
A 12-hour trip. You get to ride the rails like a hobo.
Yeah.
I have three sets of friends who have done some version of driving down to Florida recently, and for a variety of reasons. But the reason is they have families. There's a bunch of kids, so they're going to have a car while they're down there anyway. They can load up all the stuff in the car before the drive down. But the one that would intrigue me the most was my friend Brett. He drove down separately, and his family flew down. So he got some time by himself away from the family just to enjoy himself a little bit. And his family flew into either Miami or Fort Lauderdale or wherever. And he picked them up when they got down there. But that way, they have the family truckster when they're in Florida.
I drove. So the parents, I'm in high school at this time, and we were going down to see Grandma down in Flagler Beach. And, so we have a Mazda, and like one of the first Mazdas that came out with a smallest back seat you could I was like Quasimodo for the entire trip down. It was torturous. But all in all, it's not a horrific trip to make, you know?
Well, I don't know. I hate that drive. But anyhow, they...
we'll do the train.
That's an option.
Yeah.
Take your car.
Hey, our next guest in the studio, before I welcome him, because he is here to promote Eagles Autism Challenge, I want to point out another champion that we have in our studio.
Ooh.
Yesterday...
Wow.
The Autism Delaware Drive for Autism took place at DuPont Country Club. It's an event that I've played in for years now, and I couldn't play this year because I have a torn rotator cuff.
Yeah.
But in all those years, I've played with this gentleman on a few occasions, and yesterday, on the occasion that I didn't join him, he went and won the whole damn thing. Casey
How
Boy was in the winning foursome for the Autism Delaware Drive for Autism golf outing yesterday. How about that?
It was amazing. And I have to admit that I had literally nothing to do with our... It was actually a fivesome.
You said you hit a birdie, right?
No, I had a couple
you
of...
You hit a bird.
I had a couple of birdie putts. But I just was like grouped with four guys that were really good. Like one guy was better than the next. And
do you want to give him a mention?
I do. Because I've been playing with these guys, Robbie and Renee Badillo. So it's Dr. Badillo and then his son Robbie.
Yeah.
Who's 23 years old. I've been playing since he was like 14 years old. So I've watched this kid like kind of like grow up over the years.
I've played in that group.
You know them well.
They're great guys.
I do. And Robbie's actually going to med school in July.
Wow.
So it's
golf.
Like,
for golf. Well, actually, he's an assistant golf coach over at Sally's High School.
Wow.
But so he, so his father and mother are both doctors, and he's following in their footsteps. But it's really, really neat to, you know, watch this kid grow. And you know, I have these relationships that I've developed over the years of going to this thing. And that's like a cool little side thing going on. But I mean, the reality is that, you know, money's being raised for Autism Delaware, and, you know, the word is getting out. And that is a great thing. And it's a wonderful event. But Robbie wanted me to give a shout out to his mom and dad for always showing him the support and giving him that everything that he needed in order to, you know, fulfill his dreams of becoming a doctor.
They were the wind beneath his wings.
They were.
Yeah.
So this is a shout out for Dr. Badillos.
Yep.
And then also I got to give a hello and a shout out to Gary Checkett, who I think was our ace for the day. He's like a financial planner for Renee Badillo. So he was really, really good. And he's a new fan of the show because he's from Rehoboth, Delaware. So he didn't know about us until yesterday, and he downloaded the app, and he's been, you know, he's going to be listening.
And some love to Artie and Deanna and everybody at Autism Delaware who do an amazing job.
Yeah. So
this Sharts all around.
Sharts all around.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's it? Okay, you sounded like you had more to say. So.
You know, I went on long.
It's okay. We have our next guest who's in the studio, ladies and gentlemen, returning once again. And like I said, Eagles Autism Challenge is coming up Friday, May 17th. We'll get the details right over here. Is Jason Kelsey.
Yeah. Hey. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you, man. How you been?
Doing good.
Last time you sat in that seat was fresh off the championship.
Oh, yeah. That was a good time.
Thank you for that, by the way. That was cool that you came by right after you guys won. That was pretty awesome.
Absolutely. Anything for you guys.
Oh, man. Appreciate it. So how you doing so far? You enjoying the, you know, the off season?
Yeah, it's good. You know, we just started up again about 2 weeks ago. This week was the first week on the field with the coaches. So, you know, we're kind of back at it.
Kind of seems like there's really not any sort of real off season these days. The nature of the beast is that you just keep at it.
Yeah, especially when you're playing playoff games and stuff like that, it shortens down. You know, we're probably 7 months out of the year working, but you know, that's pretty intensive work for 7 months. But
Jason, is it a case of and is it sort of better that way because you gotta do more getting up to speed?
Yeah.
If you take too much time off. And if you kind of sort of keep at it, you're always just a tick off, you know, fighting weight, basically.
Yeah, I think most guys lift year-round pretty much. Yeah. I mean, you'll take a few weeks off here or there, go on vacation, whatnot. But most guys are always staying in shape. This time of the year is especially important for all the new free agents that we got in, all the guys that are trying to learn the terminology, the new playbooks.
Right.
Obviously, I think the rookies come in. When's the rookie minicamp? Either this weekend or next weekend. But this will be a huge learning curve for those guys especially.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, you know, I'm a huge football fan. And
really?
It's crazy. I didn't know that you knew that.
It's a revelation.
But I do watch the draft and everything like that. And so I watched the draft again this year. And what I thought was so awesome, I don't know who it was, but he was a center that was drafted, pretty early on.
Yeah.
And when they are sort of a... sort of dissecting, like, you know, who he is as a player and who they project, I go, he's a lot like Jason Kelsey. Like, so you have come so far along in your career that you're the guy that people are like, okay, well, who does this guy remind
us of? Who's the
Kelsey? It's really, that's got to be an honor for you.
It's a big honor. Yeah. No, I know exactly which player you're talking about. He's an athletic guy, Garrett Bradbury, drafted, I think, by Minnesota. I mean, it's an honor whenever anybody's, you know, giving you praise and stuff like that, but especially when you see young kids or even just, you know, college kids saying, you know, I've taken my game and tried to apply it to mimic this player because he's at this level of the NFL.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that that's, you know, a big rewarding moment for yourself and the fact that you've had an impact and hopefully helping another young man out.
Well, your brother's like one of the best tight ends in the league.
Yeah.
He does a great commercial, by the way.
He's tackling an eagle in that commercial. Or, you know, have we talked about this
he's
yet?
He's dancing in the commercials, the commercial that I'm talking about, where he's sort of fantasizing and he's doing like an end zone dance. And then you realize that he's like standing in the middle of a store or whatever.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, because you guys are both at the top of your games and the top of your positions, who's the actual better athlete?
Oh, Travis is not even close.
Oh, really?
Not even close. You got to call him as you see him.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, he's living it out in fantasy, and you're doing it. Yeah.
No, he's a special athlete, and he always has been, even no matter what it was, basketball, baseball. You know, he's just had a knack for sports. I think that, you know, I've always been big, fast, and strong, but the type of athlete he is, how fluid he is, the way he moves, his ability to change direction and things like that, and spatial awareness. I mean, he's a tremendous athlete.
Hey, Jason, you and Nick share something in common. You guys have both climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
You climbed Mount Kilimanjaro?
I did, yeah. I did it for charity as well. The organization you guys did it with was Chris Long and Bo Allen. The Water Boys is a fantastic organization. And, you know, when I did it, I thought I never want to do it again. Because
same here.
Yeah, it is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Yeah. But now it's been several years and I want to do it again. And part of the reason why I want to do it again is because of the work you guys have done for such a great organization. And I love philanthropic climbs at all. And to do it... make it that challenging is really impressive.
What? Yeah.
Tell me your impressions of the climb itself.
Same as you.
Yeah.
The moment I started going up that last night, about halfway through, I was like, what in the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
You're in the pitch black. You're going, what route did you go up?
We did Umbwe.
Umbwe?
Yeah.
We did Rongai, which is the only one from like the north side.
Yes.
It's the shortest, but I think.
Is it steeper?
I think it's at the top. It's a little bit steeper.
Because everyone says like Nick was saying, that basically as climbs go, it's a gradual. But there was one route that at the end, it's probably what you did, that it becomes a lot steeper.
The summit is the hardest part of the climb.
Exactly.
And you're already tapped out because you've done a climb for several days in a row. And then it becomes the steepest part at the highest elevation.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
I don't know if it's any steeper. I shouldn't say that. But you do have to, once you get to the top, you don't go right to the peak. So you have to like walk around to the other side of the peak, which is a little bit more of like another 2 hours once you're already at the top, which is kind of like, you know, why in the heck am I?
Are you walking?
I should already be here.
So you summit like at daybreak?
So you get up at midnight
before.
That's what we did on this route. You have a headlamp on. It's the blackest of black you've ever seen. I mean, there's not a light.
On a mountain.
And you just start making your ascent. And at this point, it's a little bit too steep for, like, you know, guys like me to go straight up. I mean, the porters and guys who do this, I mean, it's nothing to them. They're walking up and down like it's, you know, just another day of work.
Bastards.
But, for us, we go like kind of like sideways in these skip backs and... it took us 7.5 hours to get to Gilman's Point, which was the top of the Rongai route. And then we had to walk another two and a half hours to the peak. So I got to the peak around 10 a.m.
I could talk to you about it all day, but did anybody in your group deal with altitude sickness?
We had one guy. Well, I think everybody dealt with the altitude.
Did it hamper anybody?
But one guy didn't make it because he was, you know, vomiting. You know,
What's the altitude at the peak?
19.3.
Wow. You know, so I did there, you know, I was in Switzerland and I was hiking some of the trails. We were at the base of Matterhorn and there were a few that went up. You get so effing thirsty.
Yeah.
At higher altitudes.
And you don't want to drink.
Yeah.
So you don't want to eat anything. You don't want to drink anything. Your body basically wants to shut down. And what amazes me about Kilimanjaro, among many things, is that the summit's at 19 plus. That's base camp for Everest. So people that go to Everest are base camping at the peak of where Kilimanjaro is. And then they're going 10,000 feet above that to get to the summit of Everest.
So one thing we heard, and Nick told us, that the one thing that was sort of a bit of a detraction is that the mountain is covered in crap. Like
like toilet paper and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I didn't go up one of the major routes. The Rongai is the least traveled, so there was a little bit less of that, I think. But I have heard that from a lot of people that have climbed a lot of the other routes,
It's sad, because you're in one of the most beautiful places on the planet, and you're seeing people trash it a little bit, and that's a shame. But talk a little bit about Water Boys and what you guys were able to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, that was the other part of the trip, was just going to, like, the different areas that they've installed the wells. We went to probably 6 or 7 schools.
Wow.
And seeing... just the lack of clean water, to either just for, you know, cleanliness, drinking water.
To live, to subsist on. It's something that we so easily take for granted, where it is literally, you know stories, and you guys have been part of them as well, where there are people who have to walk a couple of miles every day to retrieve water.
Dude.
To live.
My youngest daughter, we were at a softball game, and we had to go to track practice. She goes, I don't have any water.
So I said, here, take this thermos and go into the bathroom and fill it from the bathroom. She's like, oh, gross. I was like, right. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. Like, the people of Africa would kill for this.
Well, yeah, when you compare it. I mean, yes. I mean, in America, it is still kind of gross to go throw it up. But, yes, I guess, but yes, comparatively, very, very different. I mean, you're seeing kids take buckets, literally, fill them up in a stream of, you know, just one of some of the filthiest water you've ever seen. And it's ridden with fluoride, so it really, I mean, I guess fluoride has a certain amount where it's, like, good for your teeth, but then once past that level, it can be super... like degrading to your bones and stuff like that. So, yeah, watching, you know, people walking miles with buckets of water on their head, and it's not even clean water, let alone. It's pretty special work that they're doing there. They've installed a number of wells. And the wells, I think, typically last 10 to 12 years. So this will be a substantial it's a big deal for the communities.
Yeah, I was talking to Chris Long.
People live. Yeah,
and I was talking to Chris Long a little bit about it before the climb, and just the fact that he cares as much as he does. I don't mean this in a schlocky way. It's truly inspirational what he's able to accomplish, and for you to join his team. And so who it was you, Chris, Bo Allen. Who else climbed with you guys?
So it was me, Chris, Bo, and Haloti Ngata were the four guys that have played with the Eagles.
And Haloti?
They said Haloti and Bo were the two heaviest guys that they've ever seen climb the mountain.
And he announced his retirement from at the peak, summit.
After the climb, the mountain is now 16,000 feet.
No, that's so, but honestly, you talked about it, for bigger guys, you know, when you start to do it, there is an impact. You have those other guys who are gazelles, and just physically, it's a different issue.
Yeah, those porters are, you know, 180 pounds soaking wet. You know, they're going up, and the weight definitely has a factor, but, you know, it's hard for you to complain being heavy when you got a guy out in front. So there's a number of military personnel and wounded warriors and stuff that go as well.
Yeah.
And the guy leading the pack was an amputee. So when he's doing it with one leg, you're kind of like, I don't really have much to complain about.
I think I'm
going to
shut up.
No, it's a great cause. It's cool. And speaking of causes, the reason we have Jason here this morning is to promote the Autism Challenge, which is going on with the Eagles. And it's 2 weeks from today, Friday, May 17th. This is cool because people can get to come and hang out with you guys. You're going to be there, I assume.
I think right now, as of right now, there's over 30 players signed up for it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You going to ride?
Yeah, I'm doing the bike ride this year. I did the 5K run walk last year. I figured I'd change it up.
What route are you going to do?
The shortest one.
You're going to do the steep but short.
There's 15, 30, and 50-mile routes if you want to cycle. But there's a 5K and there's a one-mile walk and all that stuff. So there's something for pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And everybody, you know, like Casey, just we were talking about the Autism Delaware event that he was involved in there. A lot of people and getting behind, you know, support for autism and research and support as well. And I know that Dornbos has been doing a lot of stuff lately, which is really cool. So people can get signed up and do this now. I need to get the information here. Do you know offhand how people get signed up for this, Jason?
I think you just go to the website and figure. I'm not quite sure.
It's EaglesAutismChallenge.org.
We'll just link it off of PrestonSteve.com so people can get to it quickly.
Okay.
And you'll be good to go. You know, it's interesting with autism and over the years, you know, I was peripherally aware of it. I knew basically what, you know, how it afflicted people. But over the years, we've met a lot of people with children with autism.
Yeah.
And there's a good friend of the show, Michael, his daughter, Emma, who made these little things that we have on our microphones here. And you start to see the things that they're doing and different, you know, they're starting to get a greater insight in opening them up. And you know, you're seeing that there's a whole potential for adaptability and full and fulfilling lives. And as you start to see that, you know, you're seeing a sense of encouragement and there's a really positive atmosphere now surrounding this world and these different challenges. I know Casey probably in tone.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've probably seen over the years a change.
Well, what they say is children with autism become adults with autism. So,
I
have like two of my best friends in the world work closely with, you know, in special education. Actually, they worked with your wife over at Lower Merion. And so, like, my best and oldest friend, like, his job is basically teaching them life skills. He takes them to the store to teach them how to, like, shop and, like, cross. And these are like, a, you know, adults, like 18-year-old. And so, and then yesterday at this Autism Delaware event, you know, you're pledging to money for people to get jobs. And, mm-hmm. you know, so this like goes, there are so many different facets of what your charity does. And I mean, so... yeah, no, so it's important.
There's a host of possibilities mm-hmm. now where I think for a while many people go, well, I guess this is just one thing and that's all it's ever going to be. Now mm-hmm. there's a lot more to the story.
Yeah. By the way, and I'm getting some texts. It's a two-day event. It's Friday, May 17th, and Saturday, May 18th.
Okay.
There's going to be an opportunity for you to get out either day.
And the weather looks good for Saturday.
Ah, good.
Unlike last year.
Yeah, last year was not great.
You guys are standing in the pouring rain.
Jason, I wanted to ask you, do you every now and then see that that sticker on the back of people's cars of you with the mummer hat on? Do you see that from time? I see it all the time.
I don't know if I've noticed a sticker, to be honest. I've seen a lot of pictures and shirts. Halloween costumes and
Halloween shirts. Costume shirts.
Yeah, I've seen the sticker floating around. And, you know, you must, and as we're sitting here talking to you, the texts are coming in. And I wanted to find out what you hear most. Do you hear Hungry Dogs? What is it? Hungry Dogs Run Faster?
Yeah.
Okay. Or If I Don't Eat Breakfast, I'm Pissed Off.
Yep.
Or what, from that speech, there were several highlights. Do people just yell those out to you sometimes?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Which one do you hear most?
You know, I was actually surprised nobody this morning asked if I ate breakfast and breakfast.
You've heard enough,
yeah,
man.
Oh, thank you.
You know,
but I probably hear Hungry Dogs Run Faster though,
yeah.
And that's not just from. I mean, that's still a mantra of Jeff Stoutland. I mean, he was just grilling some of the younger guys with it today. And,
yeah.
Or not today, but yesterday about, you know, we got some rookies coming in here. We got some new free agent signings. You want to talk about, you know, Hungry Dogs. And he's trying to motivate uh-huh. People with it. I mean, it's something that, you know, was such a big part, I think, with the team and the city. And it kind of all correlated together that... I probably hear that one the most.
Sure. Can I ask you? You just said that motivate, and I wanted to ask you what motivates? Do you think for the majority of the players in the league, what is the biggest motivation? Is it money or is it winning?
Oh man, I don't. That's a great question. I don't think that most guys are motivated solely because of money. I think that money is probably a thing that goes into the equation of playing football.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that most guys are. Genuinely competitive at that level, and they want to win.
Right, you don't get to that level if you don't have a competitive edge to you.
Absolutely,
and you know, and I hear time and time again, and I'm not a professional athlete, so I don't truly fully understand
what.
Yeah, I know, shocker, but you know, they talk about players, and in all sports, players, you know, on a contract year, right? Oh, it's the final year of the contract; they're really going to be fighting this year. It's like,
Yeah, I don't think they'll fight any harder. If anything, it can get into your head a little bit because then you start worrying about things that you shouldn't be worrying about, mm-hmm. quite frankly.
And I think you're spot on. I think that's been a misconception over the years, even in just employers in general. If you know, you want to get down to the work. If you love what you do, I think you're just naturally probably going to make more money at it because you're going to be good at it. You're going to take the time to invest in it.
Yep.
You know, and there's all different philosophies, but that whole thing and that whole. You know, talking about the being compared to you and your team spirit, that focused, you know, keeping your eye on the prize and making it a reality and seeing it in your mind and making it happen. These things always seem so trippy, but they're true. They do work if you really apply yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Mentally visualizing your success is huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that most good players that I've ever been around, they all do that. I know that, you know, especially nights before games, you know, you're always thinking about positive things that are going to happen the next day. And I think that, you know, back to the competitive thing. I mean, most of these guys, it's not about winning the football game.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the ultimate goal, right? It's literally winning every play. Like, you know,
you have individual battles. Like, I don't know, how many times a game do you have an individual battle?
Individual battle every single game, every single day in practice, mm-hmm. every single day you're evaluated. I mean, this is what these guys, this is what they've been, not bred, but, you know, this is what we do.
Are you breeding them now?
Yeah, I guess.
What's going on?
But
NovaCare Complex. You got security to
there's
get
in. There's a subterranean.
There's guys that are literally upset, you know, we'll be in practice on a 2-minute drill and guys are upset if the defense wins
I mean, this is something that, you know, it's just kind of the nature of most of these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to ask you about the fun side of things, because there was a healthy competition, although it got a little heated at times between the Phillies and the Eagles for viewers and fans. And when the Phils were doing really well, I think there was a little bit of jealousy from the Eagles camp. Lately, over the last few years, that all four teams, and five, if you want to include the Union, have been so supportive of one another. Mm-hmm. And at the Sixers game last night, it was JVR from the Flyers, it was Carson Wentz from the Eagles, and Rhys Hoskins ringing the bell before the Sixers game in the playoffs. And as a fan, as a Phillies fan, a Phil fan, Phillies fan, to see that happen is really cool to see all the other teams supporting the Sixers in their run. And that's got to be, I mean, I know you've done it at Flyers games and stuff like that over the years. It's got to be fun to be a part of that.
Yeah, I mean, I love sports. You know, obviously I play football, but I love going to baseball games, love going to hockey games, love going to basketball games. And this is such a sports dominant city. Especially when other teams are doing well, you just want to be a part of it. It's just fun, right? And with what the Sixers are putting together this year.
They're a good team,
man. Yeah, really, really good all-around team. And Bede's really coming into his own. I mean, it's been a fun year to watch, and it'll be fun to see him on Sunday again.
I was at the game last night, and I saw at one point, I don't remember which player landed on DeSean Jackson, but I was like, dude, do not hurt our wide receiver, because the play ended up over there. But it was but what was really neat, and, you know, keying off what you were talking about, Nick, is during one of the breaks, the crowd was going crazy, and you saw DeSean filming the crowd, right? You know, and so he was part of that celebration. And also, you know, one of my favorite things I've seen over the last, I don't know, 5 years or so was Claude Giroux singing Fly Eagles Fly as he's walking into Lincoln Financial Field. I, as a fan, I love to see that. I love to see the camaraderie. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
I think it's gotten
before.
So much better over the last two or three seasons. And it's encouraging to see. It's not, hey, we want these fans and you can't have them, and we're jealous when the Eagles do well and the Phils are pissed off when the, you know, like it's really genuinely supportive of one another.
On the flip side, what sport do you hate? No.
Trying to think of
curling.
It's something everyone can play. No, and like they're taking footage of your Super Bowl run and that parade, and they're showing it to Bryce Harper, and they're like, Bryce, you got to come to Philly because this is what you're going to bring to the city. Like, that's an example. Casey was saying that earlier about how you're such national. When they were chanting, Minnesota fans were chanting, we want Philly for the Sixers, all the analysts on TBS were like, you guys remember what you said, what happened last time you guys were chanting that? You better stop. So,
exactly.
Oh, it gets magical.
Yeah, I think, you know, Philly's got to, obviously because the fans care so much, they can leverage that whenever they're shopping free agents, because this is such a diehard sports town. It's a fun place to live. I can't tell you how many guys I know that have gone to other places, even if they're bigger markets out in L.A. or New York, and they almost all of them say they miss their time in football.
Really? Yeah. Well, it's good to hear that.
Absolutely.
We've been told we suck for so long.
Well, maybe the opposing fan bases don't like us. I don't necessarily think that's the same for the players.
All right.
Hey, who's your best fan on the team, by the way?
Currently?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I would probably... I'd probably say either Lane or JP.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who do you hate the most on your team?
I hate
curling.
Jake. I hate Jake Elliott because he's so much better than me.
I need some advice. This is a little personal question here, Jason. So somebody who's been in professional sports, and anybody who's been in professional sports has had to deal with injuries for
a long time.
So
yeah.
I'm a golfer. I play all the time. I have a torn rotator cuff, and I'm currently going through physical therapy.
Yeah.
But I'm biting at the bit to grab the club and go ahead and swing it, and I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
What do you do when there's injuries and you just need to stay away from using what's bad? Do you use to distract yourself from that?
Well, that's hard. It really is. I mean, even right now, you know, the coaches will kind of be like, you know, let's try and – or the trainers will try and tell me, you know, hey, let's sit you out. Let's not do everything. Let's not, you know, you don't need to do, you know, squats. You don't need to do this.
Yeah.
But for me, I've been doing it my whole career. And this is like what's allowed me to play well and all that. So it's extremely challenging.
It's got
to
be, right? Yeah.
But you try to listen to the people that know what they're talking about guys who are experts.
It's hard, though. I feel fine.
Yeah. I mean, whenever you're sitting around and you've taken a few weeks off, you'll start to feel better. But then, you know, it's that extra couple weeks that might be beneficial for the shoulder or for whatever you're dealing with.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't really know that there's an answer for it. Well, when you love something, you want
to
do it.
Yeah, and but listen to the people who know what they're
absolutely,
talking about.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It comes down, like, I had surgery in 2014, and so, you know, weight training and all that stuff I couldn't do for 5 weeks. But I ported that energy into more hiking.
There you go.
So, Preston, you know, curling. Instead of
yeah. Ice fishing.
Yeah. Ice fishing yeah. is so yeah. serene, but something that could, you know, at least you're doing
a little shanty right little there.
Shanty. You and Burgess Meredith in a hut.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Hey, well, I can real get quick. Out and ride a bike at the autism.
Yeah, college. And you had mentioned Mike and his daughter Emma. Emma's a young woman with autism, and she made us these little bracelets. I have one on my microphone, but she also made an Eagles one.
Oh.
It's an Eagles Super Bowl bracelet. I would like to give this to you. And I think that would really, really touch Emma's heart, and especially her father, Michael.
We'll get a picture and send it to him.
Yep. Very cool. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
No problem, man. All right, so just a heads up, everybody. This is going to be Friday, May 17th, and Saturday, May 18th. It's the Eagles Autism Challenge, and there are a few different things that you can participate in, or you can just go by and be there for it and meet the players. And there's going to be alumni, all kinds of stuff going on. It'll be at the link.
It's awesome.
And it'll end at the 50-yard line. There's a Friday night kickoff party, Saturday finish line celebration on the field. If you're riding, you can do 15, 30, or 50-mile cycling routes. There's a 5K run walk or the sensory walk as well. So there's a lot of different things that you can participate in. You can go to EaglesAutismChallenge.org to get on board with that. Listen, dude, it's great to see you. Thanks for being here, and good luck in your preparations for this season and all that, and keep doing what you're doing.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. That's Jason Kelce.
Yeah!
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Kathy's Cuts going on. We'll check in with her in a few.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Give me a head with hair.
Yes.
Long, beautiful hair.
Lots of long, beautiful hair for the time being at Kathy's Cuts, because then they lose it, but they leave with a really awesome style after that. How are things going so far, Kath?
It's good, and you're right. Yes, they have this long bitch's hair, and everybody's getting it chopped off. We only had one girl throw up. And so, other than that, we're doing great. Yes, she was a little girl. She got a little nervous. She was up late last night, I think, had a softball game, came early, and I think got a little shocked when the hair cut off. But at the end, she was great. She loved it. Good. She was excited to go to school and show her friends. But listen, do you guys remember the two little sisters who were fighting in our studio one of the first years that we did this event?
Yeah, I think I do. And they were both getting their hair cut, right?
They were both getting their hair cut, yes. And we brought them up into the studio because they wanted to see the studio. We ended up talking to them on the air. They had great personalities. But by the end of the interview, they were fighting on the air with us. Well, she was 7 years old at the time. Her name was Lucy. Lucy is back this year. She's 16 years old.
Oh, wow. We're looking at her right now.
Oh, my God.
That can't be.
And Lucy's come a number of years. How many times have you had your hair cut?
Five.
She's been here five times. So, I mean, you're like a veteran now, but what do you think?
I feel like every year my haircut gets a little bit better, which is nice. Like, every year I like it a little bit more. And it's just, like, as I've gotten older, I feel like I appreciate more and I understand more the cause that it's going to. And that always is, like, makes me happy to know that I'm helping someone who might not be able to, like, have hair. Like, I have so much hair. Like,
so you're able to donate it, which is nice, and that many years. Do you remember when you were seven and in our studio fighting with your sister?
Yes. So she started it.
She started it.
Yes. She threatened to, like, karate chop me, and that wasn't my fault. And, yeah.
And she here today?
She's
no,
not
she killed
here
her.
Today.
She no longer exists. Has she cut her hair, or was it just the one time?
She's cut her hair just once for the cause. She likes to keep her hair at, like, a very medium length, so
clearly you're more generous than me.
Yes.
Well, Lucy, thank you so much. Lucy and her mom come. They've been here five times, like she said, five different years. I just couldn't believe when I saw her. I looked at her. I went, you're an adult now.
Wow.
So thank you, Lucy, for coming again.
Thank you.
That's really cool, seeing the return, the people that keep coming back, and especially these people who have gone from kids to adults.
A little girl and a teenager now.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
What? So does time advance? Is that the deal?
I know, right? And you know what? It's so exciting. So if you guys remember, 12 years ago, it was when I wanted to cut my hair, and that's kind of how we started it. And Joe from Gravity Hair Salon, the owner, he cut my hair 12 years ago, and his salon is still here. They come every single year. We added David Arnold Hair Salon a few years ago, and then this year we have a brand new salon, Thierre Hair Salon, and it kind of, I will say, they're like super excited because it's their first year. You know, we kind of come in, it's routine, we know what it is. Well, they came in with all this energy, and it was like kind of refreshing to have them here. Uh-huh. So I'm really glad.
That's excellent. All right, Kath, keep it up. We will check back in with you a little bit later on and see how things are progressing. In the meantime, we got to do the Bizarre File, so let's do it now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
B-File this morning brought to you by Robbins Diamonds and tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases. Absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. We'll start with this. A 9-year-old Connecticut boy felt a strange sensation in his right ear, he told his doctor.
Oh, no.
3 days earlier, he heard a buzzing noise in that ear. Still, the boy felt no real pain, and he could hear just fine. When asked what he had been doing, the boy said nothing more unusual than just playing outdoors at school. Well, Dr. Eric Waldman peered inside the boy's ear and saw something unexpected. A tick appeared to be implanted in the right tympanic membrane, or the eardrum, where it was surrounded by inflamed tissue. This tick dug into his actual eardrum.
In the eardrum.
Yeah.
My wife sent me a picture of it.
It's nasty.
Oh, my God. It's so gross.
Waldman attempted.
Am I making you sick?
Waldman attempted to remove the tick, but the embedded arachnid wouldn't budge. By the way, ticks are commonly thought of as insects, but they are actually relatives of spiders.
I did not know that.
Dr. David Castle said, any kid, removal of a foreign body from an ear is difficult, but especially in this case, the tick's capitulum.
Yeah, the capitulum is always the issue.
The mouth parts that do the probing, holding, and blood sucking was dug in, and pulling the tick straight out would cause pain and probably tear the membrane. So the eardrum essentially acts as part of a pretty complex lever mechanism, allows sound to travel from the outer ear to the inner ear and through the middle ear, where the isosceles or the isosceles, or whatever, the small bones, you need that drum intact for good sound.
That's insane. It was in the membrane case.
Jesus. Not removing the tick would also have consequences. Over time, the boy would not be able to hear well. Still, he did not want to inflict more damage, including a possible perforation of the eardrum.
Insane in the membrane.
Yes.
Insane in the membrane. I'm a tick in your membrane.
So they didn't want to inflict more damage to the eardrum, and a hole might not deafen the boy, but it would dampen his hearing. So,
how did they resolve it?
They put him to sleep. They were able to use...
They killed him?
They didn't put him down.
That's drastic.
They were able to use pretty fine utensils to remove the capitulum of the tick. And Castle, who performed the delicate operation, said the tick was tested and identified as a dog tick.
A dog tick?
Yeah, right.
Even ticks have dogs?
Treated the boy with an antibiotic eardrop and healed any abrasions. A month later, he was doing well. His tympanic membrane had mended, and he developed neither fever nor rash. So he did not go insane in the membrane.
So it's the smallest tick, the deer tick, right? That routinely is the one that is the big issue here, the one that has the Rocky Mountain spotted fever and all that crap.
Lyme disease. A sailor assigned to the nuclear reactor department aboard the USS Ronald Reagan admitted to bringing LSD aboard the aircraft carrier.
That's some trippy ass.
Yeah, in a copy of a plea deal obtained by the Navy Times, machinist mate nuclear power third class Philip S. Colgrove.
I occasionally drop some acid.
Do you get tracers and stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah. Bingo, okay. Bango, boingo.
Yeah.
Hell of a time.
Colgrove said he wrongfully brought the powerful hallucinogen aboard the Reagan.
Riders on the storm.
While docked at various ports across Japan, as though there's a right way to bring acid into
Mommy, the heart. I want to F you.
Mommy.
Yeah.
You just walked on down the hall.
That's right. I am the Lizard King. Look at my junk.
The recent guilty pleas from Colgove and electricians mate nuclear power second class Sean Gebero bring the total number of Ronald Reagan nuclear reactor sailors disciplined in connection with LSD abuse aboard the Reagan to 4. A fifth is currently awaiting an Article 32 hearing.
This is the end. My beautiful friend.
10 other sailors, all from the same department.
Reagan with his shirt up on stage with jeans.
Already faced administrative discipline.
My nipple's a little floppy.
Floppy?
Mother, my nipples look like pancakes.
So, 10 other sailors, all from the same department.
My belly button looks like a vagina. How did that happen?
They're already facing administrative discipline last year for possessing and distributing LSD and connect. These are the guys that work in the nuclear end of it.
Do you remember years ago when we were on board the John C. Stennis, which was the nuclear aircraft carrier, an incredible deal and surrounded by incredibly competent people? We met one guy, though. Well, I'm thinking, oh, so this guy probably works in the mess or something.
Scrubs toilets, yeah.
What do you do? I work the nuclear reactor.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
Exactly. Maybe he was on the Reagan. They moved him over there, Steve. I don't know. All right, what else do we have here for you? This was really weird. A man was found dead on Wednesday morning at an imperial burial site on the imperial burial site on the outskirts of Tokyo after an apparent suicide, but it's really weird how he did it. The discovery came as a series of imperial succession ceremonies took place in the Imperial Palace on Wednesday following the ascension of Imperial Naruhito.
It's a lot of Imperials.
Well, the man was found dead at the Musashino Imperial Graveyard, where Imperial family members, including the great-grandfather and...
Is this next to the Imperial Churro stand?
Grandfather of Emperor Naruhito are buried. But anyhow, a crossbow bolt was embedded in the man's body, and a crossbow was found nearby. And they think this guy committed suicide
with a crossbow.
With a crossbow.
Well, I guess it's possible.
I mean, it'll do it. You know, I mean, you can do it, but it's just kind of odd. The body was found in a closed area surrounded by fences where construction work has been ongoing. But they located this guy.
And he was in the Imperial parking lot.
He committed suicide.
He committed suicide. Now you're speaking Japanese. He was wearing a kimono.
And he used a...
A cinnamon and katsumana.
A cinnamon. No, he used a crossbow. All right, and that's a bizarre file for you. I need to thank our friends from Panera Bread.
Yes!
Who have provided food not only at Kathy's Cuts, but here in our studio for our viewing audience as well. And Jason Kelsey, our guest, who just stopped by. This is the third year in a row that we've had Panera Bread that have been providing for Kathy's Cuts. So thank you very much for your support. And you can go to PaneraBread.com for all things Panera. As we take a break, let's give away some more Pokemon Detective Pikachu passes. The screening is on Monday, and it will be at the UA Riverview at 7:30. We can take 10 callers at 215-263-WMMR and put you on our list. So let's go ahead and do that now. When we return, I think we need to take this out for a spin. The Kentucky Derby is this weekend.
Yeah.
And it came upon me. I completely forgot that it was coming up this weekend. I realized it yesterday. I've been wanting to do something for a while. We'll do it on a bigger scale next year, but we're going to do it in studio this morning. We're going to do the Pennsylvania Derby this morning.
So we'll call this a soft open.
It's
for
a
next
soft
year's
open.
Event.
Next year it'll be a bigger, more physical thing.
Right.
But we're going to do the Pennsylvania Derby when we return. So stay with us. We'll have a chance for you to win some stuff. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Greta Van Fleet.
Morton with Chester Bennington. The Glorious Sons.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Give me a head with hair.
Yes,
long, beautiful hair.
The Kathy's Cuts has... What number year is this now, Kathy?
12.
Oh, my God. We're a dozen years into this event.
Oh, my God.
I remember the first time this was your idea to do this, that we got an immediate response, but we just did it right here in our studios. And the next year, we're like, well, we need to move it to a bigger location. Maybe there's a bigger room downstairs that we could use. It moved there. And then it got so big that we needed a real professional location. And you've been at True Beauty Concepts for a number of years now.
Yeah, you know what? I actually don't even know how many years we've been here. But, yeah, we went to a few different places. If you remember, we were across the street at, what was that?
Oh, the Adams Mark.
Crown Plaza.
Or the Crown Plaza? Yeah. One of those two, yeah.
One of those. But, we were across there. And then, fortunately, we found True Beauty. I think we always tried to keep it, like, close to the studio.
Yeah.
But this place is, like, perfect. We just walk in. The stylists just walk in. True Beauty has all of the hair products, the brushes, the, you know, everything all ready. So it kind of worked out perfect for us to have it here.
Nice. And so how we do you have any idea how many people sign up for appointments?
So we have 27 people per hour.
Okay.
So, wow. And we started at 6:30. Last appointments will come in at 10:30. We so far only had one cancellation. So
wow. That's great.
I think we're doing pretty good. And all right.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm watching the video, which people can see online, and I see a familiar face there next to you.
Yes, it's Angela. Hi, Ange.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing so far with all the cuts?
Everything's going great, and everyone's getting great transformations. So.
Tell me about who's the little girl you're cutting right now.
This is Daphne. You're such a doll baby. I love you.
I think Angela had a drink before she came to
me. Yes, that's Daphne.
She's adorable.
Nothing. So this little girl, actually, if you can see on the video, and we'll post before and after, but you would think that she didn't have her hair cut yet because it's so long. This little girl's hair was like down to her calves, and Angela already cut 12 inches off, and it still goes halfway down her back.
Whoa, man.
Here's a girl who raises cattle and still has time to come in.
Right.
Her mom wanted her to do two lengths. She wanted her to try to get 24 inches, which I think she probably could have.
Wow.
But she wanted to keep, she said maybe next time. She's going to let it grow again.
She's beautiful.
Kathy, yeah, tell Angela I'm a little upset she didn't wear her carnival outfit from her trip to Jamaica morning.
I was thinking about it, but my wings are still at the Fort Lauderdale airport, so it wouldn't be complete.
So people need to follow Angela on Instagram and see this outfit she was wearing. It's the most outrageous thing I've ever seen.
It was insane, and you look spectacular.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, I was the most covered out of, like, a lot of the people there in Jamaica, so...
I don't know if I believe that at all.
No. One-piece.
Many of the prostitutes were wearing less.
Oh, my God.
Wait, she said her bathing suit was a one-piece. If you consider a string that goes from your boob to down there, I'm not sure that's a one-piece.
Regular bikinis are less than what I wore there. Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Okay, guys. Well, back to you guys.
We love Angela, and thank you very much, Kat. We'll check back in a little while, so a lot going on there. Yeah, Nick.
Angela Perfetto 9 on Instagram. So
there you go. Yeah,
you'll be happy.
Definitely worth it. She looks amazing in these pictures, but the outfit is just, it is as over the top as you can get.
So, you know, it's become a little bit of a dilemma here now because there's a lot of extra people in the building doing work. And sometimes a quick trip to the bathroom, I had to hit three separate bathrooms before I found open stalls.
Yeah.
You know, and so now it's like a sprint every time you go out the door.
So you're relieved and ready to go.
I'm all set, but I actually had to go. I was at the Hilton and came back.
Oh, nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Kentucky Derby is this weekend. And you know what? We decided to do our own version and have a little twist on this. So we are going to take something out for a spin in a certain way this morning. We'll probably do it a little bit bigger next year. But we are presenting for the first time ever on the Preston and Steve Show, the Pencil Tucky Derby.
Uh-huh,
and you thought me with none, huh?
Yeah, correct. So, you know, there's I looked up and... And by the way, we're going to do a trivia question contest and keep it that simple. We have a variety of prizes we can give away, I believe. We haven't, in fact, we just slapped this together. 215-263-WMMR if you think you know a thing or two about Pennsyltucky. And I looked up Pennsyltucky in the Urban Dictionary.
Yes. Oh.
And got a couple of definitions for those who may not be familiar. I think everybody is. But essentially, it's the region of Pennsylvania not found within either the Philadelphia or Pittsburgh city limits. An example is, I'm headed up the Northeast Extension into Pennsyltucky. And another definition from the Urban Dictionary says, rural parts of Pennsylvania with large concentrations of country folk, noted for interest in hunting, country music, NASCAR, trailer life, Walmart, and working at the plant. Often spotted wearing camouflage with full-grown beards or unkempt caveman appearance, driving pickup trucks with gun racks. Note, and I did not know this, Pennsylvania has the largest rural population of any state.
All right. I had a feeling.
It says, not everyone who lives or is from these regions is a redneck, hick, or country bumpkin. But most who don't dislike the reference Pennsyltucky and find it insulting.
Yeah, really?
I went to college in Pennsyltucky. I went in the middle of the state. It's a town called Lewisburg. And you realize quite quickly when you drive out of this area that most of the state is not like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. That you, there are a lot more Pennsyltuckians than you might realize otherwise.
Yeah. It's, you know, over the years when I was doing stand-up comedy and I was out in your area doing colleges and stuff like that, I was down here working all the time. And I love that area.
Well, so much of it is absolutely gorgeous. And you know, we've talked before about Wellsboro and Route 6 across the north and central part of the state. It's really pretty.
That's why we should have our own derby, damn it.
Yeah, so we made I forgot that the Kentucky Derby was this weekend. So I want to do something that involves kind of you know, like a relay or something like that. And we'll work on that for next year. But for now, we got some trivia and I think that's
lots going on. Yeah.
So 215-263-WMMR. Now it's tradition that they play this song at the Kentucky Derby. And not only that, you know, so most of my family comes from Kentucky, and almost any public event.
Were you born in Kentucky?
No, I was born in Tennessee. Okay. But they will play this song before sporting events and all kinds of stuff. And I'll be honest, when I'm there and they play the song and I see my dad or mom singing along to it, I get choked up.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's very reverent to the state. But this is it.
Oh, the sun shines bright on old Kentucky home. 'Tis summer, the old folks are gay.
Well, not homosexual, but
happy. I thought that was very progressive.
Well, the corn folks are gay.
So anyhow, it's tradition to play that. So I figured I'd just put a portion of it.
Before I like
we
get
into the Pennsyltucky.
You stopped me with none.
That's right. So I thought I'd play a little bit of that. So what we're gonna do is essentially ask a couple of trivia questions. And we'll see if you can get them right. And they're Pennsyltucky-centric. So let's do the call to the post, Casey, if we would, as we get ready for this first question. Here we go. What are you doing?
I didn't do anything.
All right, that's enough of that.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go to Brandon, who's going to be our first contestant. Hey, Brandon, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we're going to do the Pennsyltucky Derby. Essentially, it's just a trivia question. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You sound like you're ready.
Sound a little too excited. Yeah, but, you do. You'll be okay. Here we go.
All right, so here is your question. Anywhere else, this word means a stiff feeling in your neck, but in Pennsyltucky, it means a stream or a brook. What's the word?
A crick.
A crick. And that's correct! That is correct, sir. So, nice job. Case, what are we going to give him?
You know what, Brandon, for you, right off of the bat, we are hitting the ground running. We've got a table for you and Mom and up to 7 guests for a special Mother's Day brunch with Godshall's turkey bacon.
Whoa!
Yes. So this event is going to be hosted by myself and Jackie Bam Bam Sunday, May 12th. It's on Mother's Day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Mummers Museum. This includes a tour of the museum, crafts for the kids, flowers for mom, and all of the brunch favorites, waffles, pancakes, eggs, fruits, biscuits, and Gottschall's turkey bacon. Plus, something special from Gottschall's own chef, Samantha Cureton. By the way, if you she's great. If you want to win something like this, go to WMMR.com, keyword Gottschall's.
Nice. That is awesome. So in Kentucky, in Tennessee, did you hear it referred to as a creek as well?
No.
Okay.
No, it was creek.
Creek. I've always heard creek.
My dad was born and raised in a town called Turkey Creek.
Okay.
And it was not Turkey Creek. It was Turkey Creek. I never heard the word crick until actually I went out west.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I my dad and I went for a fly fishing excursion in Utah. And there they called it a crick.
Crick.
And that was the first time I'd ever heard that.
Yeah, just the other day I put out a brush fire with crick water.
Yes, I did.
Water from the crick?
Wow. Yep. Okay, I didn't know there was water in the crick. Let me go to Rob. Hi, Rob, you're on the air. Well, happy for you. Rob, are you there? Okay.
All right,
we'll let him go.
All right, let me go. Man, we don't need you.
Next to Chad. Hey, Chad, how you doing?
Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
I love you.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
You too, Chad.
Sometimes you just can't wait to tell somebody.
I don't think that's ever happened. No,
we've been dating for like 6 months.
20 years.
Oh. You met by the crick.
Yeah.
All right, Chad, are you ready?
It's actually Chaz with an S, but yeah, I'm ready.
All right, Chaz, here we go. Here's your question. This tricky triangle is the home of NASCAR in Pennsylvania.
That is the Pocono Speedway.
That is it.
We're not more.
All right, hang on, Chaz. Here's what we got for you.
All right, we got a Casey Yars Philly Pale Ale. What? Philly Pale Ale is the perfect brew for any occasion. Bring it wherever the warm weather takes you. Available at Yars at 5th and Spring Garden and wherever fine beers are sold, including B2 Bistro and Bar in West Reading.
I'm just laughing at the Zach Brown.
We made an edit over here while you were out of the studio. Let me go to John next. Hey, John.
Good morning.
All right, John. It's the Pennsylvania Derby. You ready to give it a shot?
I sure am.
All right, here we go. It is illegal to sing in the shower in Pennsylvania, or it is illegal to sing in the bathtub in Pennsylvania. Which of those statements is true?
It's illegal to sing in the bathtub.
He's right.
Yeah!
That, sir, is correct. And we have a prize, John, for you at the Pennsylvania Derby.
We got a Casey Yards Philly Pale Ale. Philly Pale is the perfect brew for any occasion. Bring it wherever the warmer weather takes you. Available at Yards 5th and Spring Garden or wherever fine beers are sold, including the Beer Outlet in Philadelphia.
All right. We're going to go next to Matt. Hey, Matt, you are on the air.
You guys rock.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. So, Matt. Let's see if you can get this correct. We've talked about this on the show before. What is the Pennsylvania utensil used to assist with an unwieldy bowel movement?
Say it one more time.
What is the Pennsylvania utensil that is used to assist with an unwieldy bowel movement? We've talked about it on the air before.
Is it a spatula?
Nope, incorrect. Thank you. That's a good guess.
Yeah. He's just thinking along the right lines.
Solid guess, but I'll try that question out on somebody else. Let me go to Joe S. Hey, Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? You guys rock.
Thank you, Joe. All right, so we'll go through three different people per question if we get wrong answers, and we'll see if we can get this right. If not, we'll move along. What is the Pennsylvania utensil used to assist with an unwieldy bowel movement?
I don't know.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Are they getting it on the text?
Not yet.
All right. Go next to Joe. Hey, Joe.
Steve, I love you.
Aww. So much love in the room. All right. Let me ask this question to you again. Joe, this one's for you. What is the Pennsylvania utensil used to assist with an unwieldy bowel movement?
Unfortunately, I don't know.
Oh, wow. We've talked about this a couple times.
Yeah. Anybody in here? Nick, you or Steve, you know the answer. Nick, do you know what it is?
It's the poop knife.
The poop knife.
Come on, guys.
Of course. Right. The knife you use to cut a turd that's proving problematic.
Some people use a poop stick.
A poop stick.
We would have accepted poop stick
or Play-Doh.
All right. Let me go next to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
All right, Brian, here's your Pennsylvania Derby question. You ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, what is unique or what is about a Pittsburgh potty? Describe what that is. We talked about this on the air one time, too.
Oh, man. Is it a hole in the floor or something?
That's a really good guess.
Judges?
I'm going to sort of give it to him because... Okay. Well,
it's a standalone toilet in the basement, but a hole in the basement will do, too.
Yeah.
So, Brian, we're going to set you up. Case, what do we have for him?
Well, we have a pair of passes to see Pokemon. Detective Pikachu, did I say it right? Pokemon?
You did.
All right. It's this Monday at 7:30 at the UA Riverview. It opens nationwide on May 10th.
This was the phenomenon that actually made the news of the... And we're not simply talking it's a bathroom in the basement. It is just a toilet.
Just a standalone toilet.
So we gave him the hole because that's basically it, because it's just a bare... That's it. You go down and take a dump in this big room.
All right, let's move on to the next contestant.
Uh-huh, you stop me with none, huh?
All right, we have Mike who's up next. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks to you, Mike. All right, we're playing the Pennsylvania Derby. Here's your question. Truck stops in Carlisle, PA, are known for a healthy population of these big rig driver servicing bimbos. What are they known as?
Trucker humpers.
Not trucker humpers. I like that.
That's
like
a good one, though.
But that's not what we're looking for.
You mother trucker humpers.
Let me go to John E. Hi, John.
How you doing?
All right, we're doing well, John. I'm going to throw that question at you again. Truck stops. In Carlisle,
oh, man,
are known for a healthy population of these big rig driver servicing bimbos. What are they known as?
Hookers?
Not hookers.
Well, technically, there's
a name, and you ought to know it. So, if you're gonna participate in the Pennsylvania Derby, let me go to Angie, see if she knows. Hi, Angie.
Hello. How are you? And I actually grew up in Pennsylvania.
Oh, what part?
Cambria County.
About
70 miles east of Pittsburgh.
All right, well, let's see if you know this answer. Truck stops in Carlisle are known for a healthy population of these big rig driver servicing bimbos. What are they known as?
Well, I was going to say sewage dumps, or I guess tank dumps.
No, that's incorrect. It's an alliterative name, and we definitely talked about them on a number of occasions. The correct answer is
lot-less. Oh, sorry. I thought we were all doing it together.
Go ahead.
No.
What's the answer? What's the answer?
It's lot lizards.
All right, that's correct. Lot lizards is the answer we were looking for, and we didn't get it, so.
He thought everyone was going to go together.
I thought it was like
together.
Family Feud.
It's very adorable.
Everybody help us. 1, 2, 3.
Lot lizards.
There we go. Now, everybody, pretend you're going to do it, and I'll just do it the way Casey did. All right, 1, 2, 3. Lot lizards.
In my defense, I really wasn't thinking. It was the vibe I was feeling.
You gotta go with it.
You ran with it. I understand. I totally get it. Okay. Let's go next to Erica. Hi, Erica. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to bother you guys at work.
No, it's all good. Erica, we're doing the Pennsylvania Derby. This one is much, much closer. This isn't fully out into Pennsylvania, but we've been talking about it in the not-too-far-off past, and it isn't in Philadelphia proper, so I guess it could kind of be considered Pennsylvania. But the stank ape is seen most often roaming in what borough of Montgomery County?
Say it one more time.
The stank ape is seen most often roaming in what borough of Montgomery County?
Oh, gosh. I don't even know if this is in Montgomery County. Bristol?
No, sorry. Incorrect. Sorry. Let's go to Ben next. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how's it going? I'm from Pennsylvania.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, this question is a little bit closer to Philadelphia, but...
Okay.
We've talked about it on the air a few times. The stank ape is seen most often roaming in what borough of Montgomery County?
Oh, man. I knew, like, every other question.
Oh! And you'll probably know in the next few ones. This one's You know what? I'm going to give you a different question.
You're a good man.
Oh, North Wales. It's the North Wales stank ape. It's not really a
stretch. Yeah.
But this is. How about this? All right. Here's a question for you. Pennsylvania has the largest population of deer anywhere in the country. So if you want to bag a 10-pointer, you better have your Remington. You better have your Remington hanging on one of these in your pickup truck.
Gun rack?
A gun rack, yes, exactly.
That's a gimme.
Absolutely. Hang on a second. We'll get your information. What do we have for it, Case?
We got a case of Yards Philly Pale Ale. Philly Pale is the perfect brew for any occasion. Bring it wherever warm weather takes you. Available at Yards and wherever fine beers are sold, including Yavi's or Javi's Beverage in Philadelphia.
Yavi's. Right. Very good.
It's Javi's. Would you say Javi's or Yavi's?
I'd say Javi's.
Javi's.
Like Javi Lopez?
Yeah.
I think that's Javi.
Sure.
All right. Probably could talk about this off air.
Yeah, we could probably do that. So anyhow, we're going to have to wrap it up right then and there. So thank you for calling in for the Pennsylvania Derby. And next year we'll do something. We'll do physical challenges.
Oh, of course we have to. This was just a soft opening, as they say.
Yeah, that's correct. We have a guest who's on the line. He has spent time in Philadelphia before. In fact, he spent time sitting to my left here in the studio. He's got a new book out. It is available starting next week on May 7th. And it's art, words, song, whole bunch of stuff involved. And it is called Let Love Have the Last Word. We have on our show this morning, you know him from his world in music, in the world of music and films, and now in the book. This is Common, everybody.
Yeah.
He's on the line. Hey, Common.
Hey, Steve. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Dude, we are solid, man.
Good to hear. Thanks for having me on, man.
Our pleasure.
Of course. So, listen, Common, how long has a book been in the works from you, this particular book?
Well, this book, I started about a year and a half ago, and it kind of really, the incubus of it was really because so much dissension and division was going on in the world, and people would not ask me like I had the answer, but that would be part of the conversation. What are we supposed to do? And I didn't have the answer, but I started thinking about, like, what do I do in difficult situations? I try to, like, be the best person I could be and try to find tools to help me feel positive. And that's really what this book is about. Let Love Have the Last Word. It's dealing with love from different perspectives, love for people, love for community, love for God, love in romantic relationships. And it's those types of stories and anecdotes in the book that hopefully will inspire people.
Well, you know, you become sort of this, a quasi-preacher, and you're used in commercials a lot for your ability to, you know, to inspire, and you have a natural gift for it. But I have to ask, is there ever a day where you wake up and go, F this, because you seem perpetually positive?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I definitely know. It's moments and times where, not just in a day, but I mean throughout the day, where I'm pissed off, I want to snap on somebody, I'm feeling discouraged about something. Dude, I was stressed out last night, to be honest, but, you know, that's what I'm talking about. It's like, we all human beings, we all feel this. But how do we get through it? What are the tools we use? And in the book, I talk about different things. I talk about from prayer to going to therapy. I don't have it all together as much as, you know, I'm not putting it on the front when I'm, like, positive. That's how I feel.
Right.
I'm just telling people, like, man, these are some of the tools that I use.
Yeah.
Whether it's therapy, whether it be prayer, meditation, whatever it is, and my tools may not be the exact tools you need, but we all can use something to help us get to that positive space.
Man, I agree, Common, wholeheartedly, and as much as I try to live a positive life that you do as well, and I think most people do, there are those moments where in the heat of whatever may be happening, that anger, frustration, stress, whatever it is, kind of takes control, and that seems to be the hardest time. That is when you need to be conscious of, hey, I'm feeling these emotions right now, and I got to get a handle on this.
Yeah.
Do you have any tricks that you might use that you can recommend to people that in that moment where it's like, hey, step back for a second, you know?
Right. One of my tools is, like, just to breathe. Like, just recently, the other day, I was at the airport, and I've been, like, my flight was pushed back
millions of times. So I'm like at the airport for about 7 hours. I'm frustrated. And a woman came up and wanted to take a picture. I took a picture with her. Then 5 minutes later, she started FaceTime with her friend and just walked up on me FaceTime. And I was like, I wasn't happy with it. I was like, yo, like, but I just took a breath, man. I just took a breath and it made me kind of settle myself and center. And I still said, like, hey, I don't want to FaceTime now, but I can talk and say hi to your friend, but this is what I want to do. Now, I naturally wanted to be like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, but that one little taking a breath, paying attention to your breath, breath is an important thing. It's like one of my good friends say, when you pay attention to breath, it's like a meditative thing. You kind of bring in the highest, your higher self, your higher spirit forth. And I think it's important. Or, you know, you might say a prayer. Or my mother always tells me, my mother told me, man, sometimes when you're thinking about somebody in a negative way, you think about putting light around them, man. Just put light around them. And I was like, and she was telling me, she get into it in lines in the grocery store. And she would be like, I mean, I got to say a prayer for this. I mean, those are some of the...
Yeah, that's old school, though, and it works. And to your point about therapy and things of that nature, in therapy, I learned the concept of what is the watcher, which is basically... You, like a second you, always watching yourself in the moment where you can say, you know, step back and sort of turn to that watcher. You know, is this the way you want to be? For example, the person with the Facebook, is this the person you want to be that's going to snap at this person and ask you the questions that, you know, that you need to be asked? Is this who you are? Is this how you want to react? And when you do that for yourself, you start to say, no, I'm better than this. I'm going to react in a better way.
Dude, that's such a great technique. And that's why, you know, in the book I talk about therapy, because it gives you the certain tools. Like, it gives you tools so that you can be conscious. You said that word earlier, and I was like, that's exactly what it is. We got to be conscious, because we all go get emotional. We all go be pissed off. But how many people have you seen that, like, you don't see nobody that, when they praying, be pissed off. You don't see nobody, like, in meditative state pissed off. Like, so I think watching yourself honestly, it's the whole thing. It's like at certain points, you just got to check yourself, as they say.
Before you wreck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Have we not learned anything from John Wick? Which is, you know, turn the other cheek until it's time to not.
I mean, and that dude stabbed you in the chest.
Exactly. Turn the other cheek until they start coming at you the wrong way.
I have to ask you about that, because you were excellent in that movie, and the third one's coming out. Your fate was not completely established at the end of John Wick 2. Will there be any more?
I mean, unfortunately, I'm not in John Wick 3, which I was super sad, because John Wick was actually one of my favorite movies. 2 was one of my favorite movies to be a part of. It was like in my top 5 movies I ever got to be a part of, maybe 3, because of the way that we just got, me and Keanu got to interact, and it just was a great experience, and the way people reacted to the movie. But 3 looks incredible. My character is not in it, but they did say my character is not dead, so who knows?
Okay.
If it's a 4, I may be applying the breathing technique.
you're gonna apply all the techniques from this book, yeah. Because we really suspect, after seeing you in John Wick 2, that you and John Wick could be friends and could be allies.
Yeah, a lot of people had actually spoke about that and thought that the chemistry felt like that's what John Wick and my character Cassian would do. So I don't know where the writers want to take it. I will say, when I saw the pre-production for 3, I was like, wow, this is incredible. And even looking at the trailer, I'm looking forward to seeing the film. But, man, who knows? I mean, I think my character John Wick could definitely be partners, and my character could have a spinoff, too. I'm going to put that out there.
Yes, why not, man? We'll support that.
I would be in. So, but listen, we'll keep an eye on everything you got going on. It's cool that you're throwing all the love out there and trying to spread the positivity. So we'll just let people know the book, Let Love Have the Last Word, is coming out next week on May 7th. So keep up the positive vibes, Common, all right?
Yo, thanks, man. You guys have a great weekend, all right?
All right, you too. And there's an appearance, by the way. It's Common, everybody. There's an appearance he's got He's going to be at the Uncle Bobby's Coffee and Books on Germantown Avenue June 1st. So he's going to be in town.
Very nice.
Maybe he'll have some time to come by and say hello.
That'd be very cool.
Which would be nice. All right. Anyhow, we should, by the way, take a break. Kathy's Cuts is going on, speaking of positive vibes. That is happening as we speak. She's at True Beauty Concepts in Southampton. And we'll check back in and see how things are going. But tons and tons of people coming in, getting their hair cut and then donated. It's a really cool, positive thing. We're going to take a break and be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The Kathy's Cuts, the 12th annual, is going on at True Beauty Concept, so we thank everybody involved and a lot of people are involved. But in the meantime, we have some other things to get to. Now, I have a couple things to mention, but right before we went to on the air here, Nick said he has something stupid, and we applaud all things stupid.
Yes, we thrive on it.
And this is some, and you said it may be really dumb, it may go nowhere, but it's some kind of a debate in your household.
And it's keys off of something you said the other day, Preston, and my girlfriend heard you say it, and you were eating, I think we had a meat and eat or something earlier in the week. And you were talking about we only had a certain amount of time in which to eat, mm-hmm. you know, during the break. And so you came back and you said you had woofed something down.
Oh.
W-O-O-F-E-D.
Yeah.
That's how my girlfriend says it, that mm-hmm. she woofs food down. Which
I know the argument.
I say wolf it
wolfed,
down.
Wolfed it down.
Oh.
And I believe.
I've heard it, both.
I believe I'm correct because I always think that I'm right.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious as to what the actual proper way of saying it is, because I've just been saying my whole life, oh, I wolf that down like a wolf would inhale some food.
I've always said wolf, yet I've heard woof it down.
That's what Preston said.
Yes, the way like a dog, like woof.
Right.
Yeah. Woof.
But the woof is like the you're barking.
Right.
You're not eating.
Barking to keep people away from the food you're eating down so vigorously.
Okay.
I think maybe the reason that I've always said woof is, I think I've seen it spelled that way.
Oof, really?
And yeah.
Okay.
And that might end your argument. I don't know.
Yeah, well, let's do a quick check.
All right. I'm not really sure.
Wolf as opposed wolf to, because when you wolf, the way a wolf
right.
voraciously yeah, eats.
Insinuating that a wolf would eat voraciously, like you were saying. Yeah.
A wolf probably doesn't do a lot of chewing while digesting, you know, while eating. So they take a couple of bites and then they inhale it.
But what do wolves say to other wolves that are vigorously exceeding the natural wolf eating? Do they say boy, wolf. Buddy, you're woofing that down.
Yeah. Oh, right. Always says, you're ussing that down.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Woof. Woof. We really weed that down.
And remember, when you hear a wolf howl, it means that the surf tank is about to start at Great Wolf Lodge.
You know what? I think I have to get to Great Wolf Lodge.
You should.
You speak so glowingly of it.
My kids still want to go. Okay, so I have 18, about to turn 17, and a 12-year-old. And I thought we were done with that, and I offhandedly mentioned Great Wolf Lodge the other day. Like, when are we going again? I'm like, you guys, you still want to go to that? I thought you had outgrown that. Oh, no, we want to go. I'm like, all right, dude, I'm game.
How about that? I listen, I'm a season pass holder at the Maury's Pier Water Parks. I love water slides. I love them.
How big is the water slide there? What's the biggest water slide there?
Well, I mean, they have two different parks to choose from.
Okay.
So, you know, they have one that's like the cliff jumper, right?
Right.
So it's just, I mean, it's just kind of like a straight down thing. They got... I mean, believe it or not, like, it's going to sound so weird.
Okay.
I go into, like, the little kids' water park part.
Right.
Because I don't go in there by myself. I'll go in there with my children.
I hear you, bro.
But there's a reason why.
I hear you, roast beef.
There's a reason why I like it. It's because.
Yeah, me too.
There's one, there are a couple of different parts where, like, water comes cascading down. If you
on
stand,
a water slide?
No, in the little kids' water park.
Oh, okay.
Where if you could stand there or sit there and let the water beat down on your neck and shoulders, and it's like a massage, like a little water massage.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. I love it. Yeah.
All right. By the way, it looks like...
I'm just buying time for you to find out what it is, if it's Wolf.
Yeah. I love the way you wrap stuff up.
No, so, but he means that. That sort of, it's like when you put your crotch in front of the water exchange in a built-in pool.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Yeah. Pool jet on my balls. Yeah. that's actually a line from when we went to Jamaica one time. Chuck said that. We were
having
a heart-to-heart conversation.
We got into this really deep... Here we are in Jamaica. We're in paradise at this resort. And we're only there for like 2 hours and we're in the pool and just started, and somehow or another we got on some conversation about depression or alcoholism or something like that. Chuck just goes, "Hey, by the way, there's a pool jet on my balls."
and honestly, that's fun. That's good.
Yeah. I think that Wolf is getting more votes than Wolf, Nick. Yeah, so
maybe
I think
we should do a Twitter poll or something.
Yeah, that might be the way to go about it.
Well, thank you for indulging me.
Nah, no problem. Listen, something else I wanted to bring up. I saw this morning. This is brilliant. Dairy Queen. Oh. Apparently, you know, they have blizzards at Dairy Queen.
What's their new thing?
Well, they have announced that they are going to be doing blizzard flights now.
Oh, I love
to where? No, you don't take them anywhere.
You mean like a flight of wine or beer or champagne?
Correct. Or Rita's Water Ice has been doing this for a little while too.
You get a variety of them, so you can sample the flavors. Yeah, you're right. Rita's has been doing that, but now they're doing this with blizzards, and that's great because sometimes I will see the featured blizzard or something like that, and I'm like, I don't think I'm not going to risk getting a whole one and then not like it. You know
Can
what
you
I mean?
Send your blizzard captain out here?
Right, exactly.
I'd like to ask his advice.
So they have the
I'm pairing it with this.
They have the mini blizzard treat flight.
Mini.
Which includes blizzard flavored choices like caramel cannonball, cotton candy. I wouldn't try that one. And summer berry cheesecake, among others.
So I went to Dairy Queen a couple of weeks ago for my wife, which has had a massive craving for it. And it's like a surgical process putting together those blizzards. They got it has to be mixed out just right. Mm-hmm. And I was like watching a neurosurgeon at work.
You can call me boring or whatever,
but don't call me late for supper.
But I will only do the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard. I don't care about any. And I obviously am a big fan of sweets. But that's the one that I like, and I don't stray from that at all.
Okay, all right, so you're not adventurous in the blizzard department.
It's not that I'm not adventurous, it's just that I don't need it. I know what I like, I like, yeah. No, you don't have to shut up, President.
Okay, thank you. No, I will try the ones. I will try, they have like a blizzard of the month.
What's your favorite blizzard?
That's a good question, because, you know, around fall, I like their pumpkin pie blizzard is really good. And around Valentine's Day, they do this chocolate and strawberry one that's kind of yummy.
Didn't you come up with that?
An ice cream flavor.
Yes.
Which I presented to our friends at Bassett's, and they never came through with it. But I thought chocolate-covered strawberries and cream would be a great Valentine's Day featured flavor of ice cream.
Why does no one do that?
There you go. I just gave it to
you. Yeah, why? With a really good cream sort of, you know.
Yeah.
Why does no one do that? It seems like an obvious.
I think it might be difficult to have small chocolate-covered strawberries to survive the mixing process and all together. I don't know.
Two things. Bassett's might be coming back around. I don't know if you guys heard that.
But, what?
I'll tell you more later. Uh-huh. Lauren Headwood is working with Mike Strange, our buddy Mike Strange.
I love
Bassett's.
Mike. He's now Dr. Strange.
He is one of the Avengers.
We're using our made-up names.
Yes. In fact, I saw him walk through a portal into the sales area.
So it gets from place to place.
Yeah.
But the guy who ended up in second place, I know we've been talking about Jeopardy a lot lately, but the guy who ended up in second place on Jeopardy last night, one of his hobbies was creating ice cream at home. And then a little interview portion, he was talking about all of these strange flavors that they made up. And one was like a port wine flavor. So it was almost like a Moose Tracks, except that the ribbon was port wine. And then there was something that went along with it. So I guess you can kind of make any ice cream you want.
You can. Right? I tend to rely more on foundational flavor.
Me too.
Like I like, you know, to me, I like, okay, this is chocolate and has a little bit of this in it. But I don't, when you get too crazy, you can go straight to hell.
Jesus. You like that Zaz ice cream, right?
Zaz is the
black magic.
Oh my God! Yeah, they're right in Germantown.
Mm-hmm.
Right in Mount Airy, I should say.
I'm thinking, Preston, if we're inventing flavors, I would like a Belgian waffle and cinnamon ice cream.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. That's got some definite potential.
Dr. Strange could do that.
Yes, he could.
Here's somebody. Now, I've had this before, and I've forgotten about this. They don't have it on the menu at Dairy Queen, but there was one nearby me when I lived in Delco, and it was the banana cream pie blizzard, and somebody texted that in, and that was really good. Or maybe it was a banana pudding when they called it. But anyhow, try that sometime.
Hey, you know what you guys should try? Hershey's has an ice cream, and I believe it's called Graham Central Station. It's so good.
Wow.
Yes. It's like graham crackers.
Is it like Graham Slam? Like Turkey Hill?
No.
Okay.
It's like a billion times better than that.
Okay.
And
is that an actual statistic?
I don't know. I just made it up, but it sounded good in my head.
Graham Central Station.
Graham Central Station, I think, is what it's called. And so it kind of tastes like a Golden Grahams a little bit.
Oh, those Golden Grahams.
Yeah. Oh, those Golden Grahams. My wife made a cake the other day. It was for my daughter's birthday, and it wasn't technically a cake because you don't bake it, but the ingredients are laid out like a cake is, and it was an eclair cake, and it was so damn good. It was made with graham crackers, a vanilla pudding mixed with whipped cream topping and chocolate across the top and stuff, and it was out of this world. It was absolutely phenomenal. I will have to bring some in for you guys.
One of the best cakes I've ever had is a cake that my neighbor had made with a Nutella. It was like a Nutella.
Was that the icing?
Like a devil's food, and it permeated the entire cake, but it was I like moistness.
Yeah.
Moist. I like moist. A little bit of hair.
too much.
Not too much. Not that you don't have to clip away to get it everything.
Some dresses it up a little bit. Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on from hair and pie and all that. I do, but we're going to stay with the mouth for a moment and taste. And
on tonight's Mouth Chat.
The headline in this article I haven't read it yet. It's very, very short, but it says, study, you don't actually like the taste of black coffee and alcohol. It says you might think you love your coffee black or the taste of beer, but a new study says that's not really the case. Northwestern University researchers found that the taste preferences for bitter or sweet aren't based on variations in our taste genes, but rather the genes involved with our emotional responses.
Mm-hmm.
The study leader said the genetics underlying our preferences are related to the psychoactive components of these drinks. People like the way coffee and alcohol make them feel.
There you go.
And that's why they drink it. It's not necessarily the taste.
If I may jump in here, Case, I was just having this conversation. I don't think anyone who tells me they love the taste of vodka, I can't believe that. That to me, but in this case, that it would elicit a response, or it reminds you of relaxing or whatever. Then I get it, because when people say, "Well, you develop a taste for it," I think what they're actually meaning is you develop an appreciation for it and a set of memories associated with it that you like. Because I don't like black coffee. I like I put a little bit of milk and a little bit of sugar in it.
Right. So I drink. Casey gets me a cup of black coffee every morning.
Right.
On my way to work, I drink coffee with a sweetened cream in it. I have, you know, like French vanilla cream, and that's the way I actually like it.
Right.
But I've had my allotment of the sweetness for the day, but I want the caffeine, so I have the black coffee. So I've been drinking black coffee for years. I have one cup of it here on the show in the morning. I still don't like it.
Yeah, I have developed.
I still don't like it.
It's like almost like a resistance to the flavor, or you know, because I do the same thing, same exact thing, Preston. I have sweetener in my coffee. And I've said this, I believe, to you before, Preston, about the taste of alcohol. I tend to believe that people say that they like the taste, but the truth is, if it didn't give them a buzz, they wouldn't be drinking.
I agree.
However, I can say, and I've told Nick this before, the first beer of the weekend, if I crack that open and I take a sniff of that, I'm like, oh, my mouth starts to water. And that first taste, it's yummy. It's flat out yummy. So I can't fully agree with this study.
So how long between that first visceral sensation to the point at which you're legitimately completely bombed?
Oh, wow. That's a couple hours.
Yeah, a couple hours.
Yeah. I'm on both sides of this because I think that I love the taste of coffee. I drink black coffee, and that's all I drink, and I drink Americanos.
Do you drink decaf Americanos?
No.
Okay, then you don't like the taste of coffee.
For those who don't know, an Americano is essentially espresso with water added to it. Okay.
Because if I have a coffee, I can't drink it with any sort of sweetener, any cream or sugar. If I have a sip of it, I can't drink it. But I think it's just the taste of sweetener. But I drink vodka waters as my go-to drink, and I will take a sip of a drink, and it tastes very good to me. And then
vodka and water tastes very good to you.
Yes, and then I will give it to somebody because I will actually say, can you taste the vodka in this? Do you think, you know, every once in a while you wonder if the bartender, like, shorted you? And some people will take a sip and they'll, like, cringe and they're like, oh, my God, all I taste is vodka and I don't even taste it anymore.
Wow.
I got four words for you, Preston.
Yeah.
Beer in the shower.
Oh, there you go. We've talked about that before. That's pretty magical.
That's all you need, man.
It's still magical. I haven't done it in a while.
Three words. Beer while driving.
No. Stop it.
No.
Is illegal.
Oh, yeah. Is it five words for you? Iced tea in the shower tastes better than beer in the shower. Because iced tea tastes better than beer. It's just as simple as that.
Man.
I got six words for you. Iced tea is a good actor.
I agree.
That's two words.
Okay. There are a lot of people. I don't think I've seen the word bull S written more times in our text messages.
About
before.
The wolf or wolf?
No, not the wolf or wolf.
Oh, okay.
About the fact that alcohol or coffee doesn't actually taste good to you.
See that one tweet there? I didn't realize this. It's actually the Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, and there's so many different flavors of beer these days. Like, if you know, different styles and different flavors added to it, fruits and...
Well, you're saying alcohol. You're not necessarily saying beer, right? So, like...
But when you said...
No, I said at the top. At the top, it says...
does it say beer?
It says, you may think you love your coffee black or the taste of beer, but a new study says that's really not the case. So, I don't know.
So I can see beer people liking the taste of beer. I hard liquor on. So what your liquor of choice is?
Bourbon.
Bourbon. Mm-hmm. The taste is there, right? You believe there's a taste. Is it sweet? Is there a sweetness to it?
Some.
Yeah.
I mean, they all have their complexities and different flavors to them, but it.
But you see what I mean about vodka? Yeah, I find it very hard to believe that vodka has a.
Well, the difference between mixing it with something to add to it is completely different than just straight up and not on the rocks, no water to water it down or anything. Would I call that refreshing?
Right.
Hell no. Are you kidding? Oh, my God, I feel so much better. I needed that. It's not that way.
There are flavored vodkas, though, that people
loads
love.
Of them.
Yes, yeah.
Loads of them. You know, I don't know. I can see both sides of this. I also believe in acquired tastes, and maybe that's part of what this is. Mm. That you add up the experience and all that stuff. Because listen, the first time you taste beer, it's pretty nasty, and you think. How? What? Were you the opposite?
No. Chances are you're having a pretty crappy beer too, because the first time you taste beer, it's not likely going to be a craft beer, you know, that IPA or something that's made with a little bit more care. It's a Milwaukee's Best that's warm.
I remember like almost throwing up while drinking a beer when I was younger.
Just from taste, not from alcohol.
From taste, I was like, oh my God, you know. And so I was on the beach in Strathmere, and I was probably 16 or something. Yeah. I didn't like really drink a whole lot in my high school years, but every single sip and gulp was a battle.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll remember 16 years old, my parents' basement, my first taste of lager, Yingling lager, and it was awful. Yeah. And I never thought, how could anybody like this? But now I do. But Nikki said, your fierce beer is probably bad, but these days, like kids, their parents have really good beers in their fridge.
Oh, so they're spoiled.
Well, yeah, you're spoiled. Right. Your parents don't have Natty Light in their fridge anymore. They have good beers. And, like, this generation will never know a beer list that doesn't have craft beer on it.
Yeah, it depends on what. I mean, like, craft beers, I think they're disgusting.
Yeah, you hate IPA, right?
I ones that are high in that have the real hoppy IPAs and stuff like that, I can't stand. Damn them. And I've been drinking beer for a long time.
Do you know
what
you need to try then? What? Robert Kraft beer. It comes with a hand job. Right?
That's good.
Yeah.
I love it.
And a finger.
Yes.
I'm on board.
So that's new, right?
And the finger and the pegging.
Yeah.
Wait.
What? So yesterday the news broke as a part of this whole Robert Kraft story that not only was he getting what he was getting at the shop,
But his own fingers were, how do you say it delicately?
They were
in his butt crack.
Oh, those were his fingers?
Yes.
Oh, I thought they were her fingers.
No, I believe he was aspiring to get to her fingers, but started with his own.
You well, hang on a minute.
Yeah. I don't know why we didn't talk about this.
This guy was playing with his own butt?
Yeah.
During, okay.
That's just weird.
Come on. Have you no decency, man? You're getting in the way of your hooker.
What are you paying her for?
I know, right?
I mean, put a glove on or something.
Oh, your finger feels. No, no, that's you.
Really?
Really? Well, this dude's got money to burn, man.
Right. Yeah.
You know? But, you know.
Yeah, maybe he didn't want to pay for that add on.
Well, come on.
I don't want the silver elite package.
Right.
I mean, multimillionaire. He pulls into a strip mall in his Bentley. Well, he doesn't. His driver does in a Bentley.
Yeah. I got to wrap my mind around that for a moment.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
You're paying for it.
Why don't we... Ooh, I feel so good.
Why don't we take this moment to see if Kathy Romano's
there?
Hi, Kathy.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's right.
There?
He's playing over
yes,
there.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey! Hey, we're just talking about a guy playing with his own butt. I figured it'd be a perfect segue to go to you.
Sounds about right.
Hey, you know what? We skipped traffic, so I tell you what, why don't we get that at the end? But how are things going at Kathy's Cuts?
They are going well. Sorry I had to bump you guys. Fox came out, and of course, Mike Jarek wouldn't shut up, so they came to me a little bit later than normal. And then I couldn't hear them, so that went well as well. But everything is going wonderful here. We had another adorable little girl. I know I keep focusing on the kids, but like they're just so darn cute when they come out here and they get their hair cut. And a lot of them, another little girl came out, and her hair was cut, but it was still long afterwards. We had, I don't know if you guys remember, we had the two teachers. They're like 6'5" each. They came out 2 years ago.
They're guys, right?
The guys, yes. They're two male teachers. His hair wasn't long enough to cut. He came out again this year. It wasn't long enough to cut, but he brought his son, and his son had his hair cut. So it was really cool. And we're just seeing, like, amazing stories like that all morning long. And, yeah, it's going great.
We're
going to
come back in a moment, though, because I got some bizarre file stories that I would love to share with you. So stay closer. And by the way, Nick, you're out and about today. It's First Friday. Let's mention that real quick.
Yeah, First Friday tonight, the corner of Bridge and Main, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Great time in Phoenixville. A lot of the bars and restaurants open up their doors. So swing by, say hi. Corner of Bridge and Main in downtown Phoenixville, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. tonight.
Nice. Yeah! Coming back with the B-Files. Stay with us.
Oh, that yearly family picnic. The one where everybody shows up to hang outside, enjoy good food, great friends, and plenty of cold beer. And while it might be fun to watch Uncle Joe do a keg stand. MMR's Family Picnic has eight kick-ass rock bands providing the entertainment. Shinedown. Cause it's about to get heavy. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. The Struts. And Evanescence. Plus GA performances from Fozzy, Bad Wolves, The Glorious Sun, and Siravo. Bud Light presents MMRBQ 2019, Saturday, May 18th, BB&T Pavilion, WMMR.com for details on $25 lawn tickets. Hit up the Rock Shop for this year's MMRBQ t-shirt presale. Order now in time for the show. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Well, a wave of thefts has hit adult store called Peaches. Peaches and Cream actually is the name of it, with rampant clowns and suspected drug addicts pilfering expensive sex toys over this past weekend.
All right, could you run that back again?
Yeah, this is in Australia. It's an adult store called Peaches and Cream, and clowns and drug addicts have been stealing things from there.
Because of storms, did you say?
No, I didn't say anything about storms.
Okay.
So
dingoes?
Maybe you heard clowns and heard storms.
Vegemite?
A cadre of clowns spotted, apparently pilfering a 19-inch double-ended dildo from a store in Auckland, is just the latest in a series of bizarre sex shops. That's in New Zealand, actually, right?
Auckland, yeah. I thought you meant the 19-inch double.
Well, that's, that's also noteworthy as well.
Yeah, we go to our own double dildos here in Australia.
But Auckland is in New Zealand, yeah.
These are thefts that have gone viral due to the retailer's Facebook name and shame deterrence strategy. The theft, the work of at least four clowns on what Peaches and Cream believes to be a stag party or a bachelor party.
Okay.
Came just days after a group of repeat thieves was caught stealing lubricant, sex toys, and a penis extension device. Penis extension device?
Wow, they have those?
From a
store. Happy day.
In Wellington. Anne Marguerite was behind the counter of the store on Saturday evening, one of the store's busiest times. She said, you get a lot of people on their way to or from dinner, and some are browsing, having a giggle, and some are there to buy afterwards if dinner goes well. It's really nice to work.
You know how when you're going out to dinner with the family, you want to stop by the sex shop?
Well, last Saturday, around 9 p.m., two men entered the store, dropping a large bag at the door as if they to show they weren't stealing anything. They browsed, inspecting the wares and examining a sampler for a prostate massager. Marguerite wasn't buying it. She said one guy was way too chatty, and he started to get creepy, so I asked him to leave. The other guy took a pile of stuff and walked toward the counter. When he got 2 meters away, they just sprinted for the door. I grabbed him by the hoodie and started screaming, help, thief. It says the street is chock-a-block. I don't know what that means. There are people all around. So
I've heard the phrase. I don't. Does it mean crowded?
Probably. She said, so Dumb and Dumber ran off like cartoon characters, feet in the air, flailing about, and the gift boxes they grabbed just went flying. She said there were C-rings, condoms, and a big bottle of lube all over the footpath.
How do you determine if someone's getting creepy in a store that sells C-rings and prostate massagers?
Then the charger for the ring fell out. He grabbed the ring, but he's got no charger, and it's a specific kind. So he's stuffed, really, she said.
He's totally stuffed.
And amid the sexual paraphernalia was the key to the getaway car. 20 minutes later, the men's accomplice knocked on the door. This thief Marguerite had met before on Sunday afternoon back in February. She and another woman had robbed the store of butt plugs, earning themselves a slice of internet fame in the process. She said, I knew that they'd been stealing, so I approached them and said, give it back. This doesn't need to go any further. One removed an item, and the other one looked at me square in the eye and said, I'm not opening my bag. So I put her picture on Facebook.
Well, you can never shop in this butt plug store again.
One of the items is a $329 remote-controlled butt plug.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
She said, and so I grabbed the pictures and called them the butt plug bandits.
Is that voice control?
And then apparently they got a lot of notoriety from that because she put it on the internet. Oh, and some clowns robbed some of them of strap-ons.
That is an amazing, amazing story.
Yeah. Do I have time for one more? No, I guess we don't. I'm
really,
sorry.
No.
That's it. That's all I have time
well,
for.
Well, that was worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, sorry. I picked the long one. All right. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. Don't forget, we do have a lesson question coming up, so we'll have a chance for you to win some stuff from the Preston and Steve Show and the Word of the Week prize, giving that away this morning for return show.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I think we're going to check in one more time with the event that's been taking place throughout the course of the morning. Actually, it's been taking place for the last 12 years. This is the 12th year for Kathy's Cut. So let's go one more time to Kathy Romano. Hey, Kath.
Hi, I am here right now with Justin, who kind of looks like a male Pippi Longstockings at the moment. We are getting ready to cut his hair. He is actually going to go from this long hair to a buzz cut, right? He's going to shave it. Brian, you guys remember Brian did the WMMR logo in somebody's hair. Yeah. It was a few years ago. So we're going to do a logo. Justin, first of all, where are you from?
From Chester County, Cochranville, PA.
And you wanted to, you're okay with this. You want to do the logo in your head?
Yep.
Okay. What do you think you're going to do? Did you pick yet?
Either Flyers or Phillies.
Uh-huh. All right. Flyers or Phillies, guys. What do you think?
How about...
Well, there's still the season left with the Phils, so yeah, maybe you go with that.
Or maybe Phillies?
Or the Phillies.
they're thinking Phillies, because you still got the season left. All right, you okay with that?
Yep, sounds good.
All right. He's going to do it. Before you guys go, we have to check in, or I want to check in with this guy, because I'm not sure that he's okay.
Oh.
Hey, what's your name?
Nick.
Nick, how you doing?
Good, you?
Are you sure you're all right?
Yeah, I had a crew cut for a long time. This is like the first time I've grown it out in 4 years.
And you said this is a big deal for you.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And how come you decided to come here and donate?
I was just growing it out for no particular reason. I decided halfway through this would be a constructive thing to do with it, I guess.
Well, it is, and thank you very much. You guys got to see how much hair he cut off and how beautiful it is. But when he was getting it cut off, the face that he had on him, I felt as though I needed to go over and check on him. But he seems to be doing okay.
No, he still seems like he's on the edge.
Have there been any tears today, Kath? We did have one person puke, but anybody cry?
Yes, that poor little thing. She did throw up. No, I didn't see any tears.
Good.
I don't think we had any tears this year. Yeah, I think everybody's kind of confident. Everybody's getting a great new haircut, and everybody seems to be really happy.
I think that speaks, if you do have people that get a little bit upset, it speaks to the sacrifice, because some people, the hair is very, very important. And they take care of it, and they're proud of it, and then they want to give it for this great cause. I think that if they do get emotional, it speaks to what they're doing.
Yeah.
I think it's actually great. And then eventually, you know, they embrace a new hairstyle and all that, and they come around to it. But at first, when you first get it cut off, it's like, oh, my God.
A little shocking.
What did I just do?
Yeah.
You know, but it's all for good.
We did have one woman that said, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I'm donating it, but I'm never coming back again. You do get some people like that. But no, I mean, listen, all in all, it's been a great event. And we've been packed all morning. We kind of go, in previous years, you kind of go through a flow, and then you'll have like a lull period. You know, it won't be too crowded. I feel like every time I turn around, every chair is filled. So we're really doing well this year.
Awesome. Well, thank everybody there for us. And, you know, obviously the people who participated, but, you know, all of the different salons and Panera and everybody who made this whole thing happen, our MM Army, the promotion staff and all that stuff and engineering, because it's a process to put this whole thing
Absolutely.
On. Absolutely. And thanks.
Yeah. And of course, all of the donors that came out, I feel like sometimes I forget to thank them because they're the ones that are donating their beautiful hair. So thank you to everybody that came out today.
Cool, man. All right. Thank you, Kathy. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right. Kathy Romano and Kathy's Cut. One more time. 12th year that's taken place. All right. We're going to move on to today's lesson question, and we are going to give away this morning a pair of tickets and some free food at the Food Truck Craze Cinco Bash, which is happening tomorrow and Sunday as well outside of the Oaks Expo Center. And the question I have for you this morning is, what do Ronald Reagan's nipples look like? 215-263-WMMR.
It's true.
Let's see if you're listening and you know the answer to that. We were talking about the USS Ronald Reagan and people doing acid on there. What do Reagan's nipples look like? If you were listening earlier and you know the answer, you should call right now. You just might win. 215-263-WMMR. While you're calling in, we do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR. With Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, brought to you by Primo Hoagies. Primo is celebrating National Hoagie Day on Monday, May 6th. It's coming Monday. Rewards members get a great tasting Primo-sized Italian, turkey and cheese, or ham and cheese for only $5.99. The Primo size?
Oh, yeah.
These are freaking huge.
I love them.
Details and locations at PrimoHoagies.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Eminem responding after Justin Bieber dissed him for, quote, not understanding modern rap, a.k.a. Marshall Mathers came back at Bieber calling him juvenile and saying, quote, I could beat you up in 100 gorillas.
Oh, my God.
Jenna Jameson celebrating losing over 80 pounds after a year on the keto diet with a series of sexy photos posted online. Jameson says she initially thought the keto diet would be difficult until she found out it allowed unlimited D.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Peter Mayhew, the man who originated the role of Chewbacca, has died of a heart condition at the age of 74. Of Mayhew, George Lucas once said, quote, even though Peter was under loads of rubber and fur, we still managed to convince him he was acting. And that's your Hollywood check.
All righty, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this. What do Reagan's nipples look like? 215-263-WMMR. And we go to Rick to see if he knows the answer. Yo, Rick.
Yo, Rick.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, what do Reagan's nipples look like?
Pancakes.
Hang on just a minute, Rick. For you, we have a pair of tickets and some free food. And this is at the Food Truck Craze Cinco Bash happening May 4th and 5th outside at the Oaks Expo Center. Over 30 food trucks, axe throwing, zip lining, oversized inflatable games, live music, margaritas, and more. Tickets are on sale now at foodtruckcraze.com. Let's do the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, I have only two stories this morning. Yeah, but this one's juicy. Okay, this first one, you're going to like this one. It's some good dirt. Rage Against the Machine and Prophets of Rage drummer Brad Wilk's estranged wife, former 7-year bitch singer Celine Vigil Wilk, has filed new divorce documents and is blaming his affair with actress Juliette Lewis for the failure of their reconciliation
attempt.
Whoa, that
is juicy, yeah.
Yeah, Celine originally filed a divorce in June of 2013 after learning that Brad had slept with a woman who worked in a Las Vegas strip club, but called it off later that year. In early 2016, Brad went on tour with Lewis and her band. Celine wrote, "I later discovered that he was having an affair with her." In late 2016, Brad returned to Los Angeles and informed me that he wanted to set up a mediation. He said that he was moving in with Juliette Lewis. Now, I don't know the current status of he and Juliette Lewis, but this is the reason behind the divorce.
That's wild.
Yeah. The couple were married in 2005. They have two young children. Celine is asking for joint legal custody of the children, but wants primary physical custody and spousal support. Celine says that Brad earned $2.2 million in 2017 and believes that he should pay about $30,000 per month in temporary spousal support and about $17,000 per month in temporary child support.
You're a complete dirty whore.
Until the divorce is final.
So, wow. So you haven't heard of anything going on with Juliette Lewis for a while, and I guess this is the reason why.
Yeah, maybe.
She was doing some acting. She's doing, you know, the music as well. She has her own band, obviously.
Yeah.
And, well, here you go.
She's also seeking $100,000 in attorney fees and $50,000 for a forensic accountant.
Oh,
so
boy.
I guess to look into his money.
Yes.
And see exactly what he's got and maybe what she's owed. And one last thing, Paul Stanley, he's been making the rounds. He's got a book out, so there's been a lot coming up with him.
And the book is supposed to be very good, actually.
He's not a fan of streaming services. While promoting his just-released second memoir, Backstage Pass, the Kiss frontman spoke about how the era of streaming music is benefiting everyone except for the people that actually create the product. During a chat with Yahoo Finance, Stanley pulled no punches when he laid out how music streaming works. He said, overall, for the most part, it's unfair to the musicians because anybody who's a laborer should be able to set their fee. And then you either buy it or you don't. When somebody, in essence, and the whole way this started with streaming was basically, we'll pay you X or we won't pay you anything, he said.
Yeah, I heard some, I forget who the artist was who was talking about it, but he said it's, so think of it this way, you know, give me 10 pounds of music. Mm-hmm. Like, you
right.
know,
right, right.
It's just a very, okay, how does it get parsed out? You know,
yeah.
how does the artist benefit?
Yeah. He went on to say that unfortunately the up-and-coming musicians aren't yet hip enough to the goings-on in the music business to properly protect themselves and their work. He said, it's just something that I find really wrong, and I don't worry about me. He said, luckily my rent's paid and then some, but there are young people who are making music who may be very idealistic now and say money is not the motivation, but when you need to pay the rent, it will be. Kiss performs tonight. By the way, they're in Mexico City.
At the end of the day, all you need are your chickens and your extraterrestrial friends.
It's what you've held on to for
exactly.
all these years.
It's what's kept me sane.
And look at how successful you
Absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
The majestic chicken and my intergalactic friend with the exceptionally long digits.
I love how the chicken is majestic.
It is.
Yeah, just in general. And you're your extraterrestrial friend.
But not just successful, but like you're centered.
Yes. I found personal peace through the clucking of the free-range bird and he of the glowing heart.
Cluck, cluck.
Cluck, cluck.
Yes.
Turn on your heart light.
Right. That could be a Kiss song. I know you guys are breaking up and everything.
Cluck, or cluck, turn on your heart light.
Retiring. Cluck, cluck, turn on your heart light.
Hit body, people!
Dude, they could have a little E.T. flying out over the audience
yeah.
at the Kiss show. Spitting blood,
yeah.
shooting fire out of his fingertips.
Look at him go.
Yeah, look. You taught him everything he knows.
Absolutely. He's the real star child.
Bill Weston's in the hallway shaking his head. He's looking. He's sitting there going, what the hell are you guys talking about?
This is a big morning show?
Kiss performs tonight in Mexico City at the Domination Festival.
Have you folks ever seen an actual extraterrestrial? Here he is.
All right. Yeah, maybe, you know, he could come out and sing Love Gun or something.
Absolutely.
Like E.T. Or you know, Rock and Roll.
I don't even actually know if you have a penis. We've spent all this time together. There was nothing, obviously, in that movie. They wouldn't have had anything to suggest genitalia, but in the actual...
He's naked.
He was so naked, right. So there was nothing. Right. We would assume it's probably would be on the order of a hidden...
Yeah.
Something that...
Like the Shape of Water's
when
penis.
When aroused. Yeah, like the Shape of Water's penis.
I haven't seen The Shape of Water.
Oh, you haven't?
Do you see his penis in it?
Oh, all the time.
Well,
really?
No, but they describe it because, you know, he's obviously not wearing any clothes.
Right, yeah.
So and like a dolphin, it's internal and it womp, makes its out. Way out.
It kind of goes, it makes it sound like womp.
Maybe it's an E.T.'s mouth.
Exactly.
It eventually just comes out.
Oh, goddamn, I kissed that thing. I thought it was his tongue.
You may be carrying an extraterrestrial.
Yeah. Gonna have a Billy baby.
May have embedded some eggs in you somehow or another. All right. Anyhow, they're playing Mexico City, and that's all I have for you in music news. So we have one more break to take. We're
going
to do that very thing. We'll come back in a second, and we'll get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize, and then give that prize away to the proper number caller. So stay close. We'll have it all in a moment.
That's amazing. The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Preston and Steve Show. So nice to say that Friday morning. And a good time today. A lot of things have been going on, including Kathy's Cuts.
Yes.
12th year that this has taken place, and it's still happening at True Beauty Concepts. And all good, thanks to everybody who has been a part of this, from all of the salon members and all of the, of course, the people that came out and donated their hair. And
bunch of good people.
Our friends from Panera who catered the event, and all of our promotions department and engineering. Everybody involved, and Kathy especially, for being the point person on all of it. So we'll get you details on you getting on board for it next year when we start soliciting again. So that will happen. So cool to have Jason Kelsey.
Yes.
Stop by this morning. He's a class act, that Jason Kelsey.
Bill Weston, Man About Town, liked him a lot.
Yeah. And his he and the team members are going to be involved in the Eagles Autism Challenge. And Jason was saying like 30 people from the team alone are going to be there.
Huge, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
On top of that, you'll get alumni members and coaching staff and all kinds of people that will be there. Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th, EaglesAutismChallenge.org. To get signed up. It's a great cause and should be a really cool event. And we had actor and rapper Common on the show today. And
very positive person.
It's what his book's about, you know. He's like just trying to share anecdotes and thoughts about being a positive person and see if it works for you. He even said, hey, man, this stuff may not work for you, but it may work for a few
people.
But
F you, he said.
No, he didn't say that. He said, hopefully it works for some people. He's just trying to, you know, help out.
And, yeah.
The book is available. It's called Let Love Have the Last Word, and he is releasing that book on the 7th, and then he will be in town at Uncle Bobby's Coffee and Books. Uncle Booby.
The first time I saw it, Preston, I thought it was Uncle Booby's, and I'm like, wow, I've never heard of this place.
Uncle Booby's Coffee and Books.
It's going to be a great time. Lots of positivity.
Uncle Bobby's.
Uncle Booby's. Uncle Bobby's in Germantown, is it not?
It is on Germantown Avenue.
There we go.
And that is going to be on June 1st that Common will be there. And maybe E.T. will stop
Absolutely.
By, if you're lucky.
He was a botanist.
On this home world. He goes on and on. Don't ask him.
What's this?
Hey, it's this constant announcement that we made at 9 o'clock this morning.
Oh, we did,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate.
Hey, let's reiterate that MMR rocks Stone Temple Pilots with Rival Sons. They're coming to town September 19th at the Met.
It's good to relive that announcement.
In Philadelphia. Tickets go on sale today, by the way, at noon via Ticketmaster.com. And you can win tickets through the gentleman that is right here in our studio live in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania, Pierre Robert. Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pierre Robert.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, it's
from his car, his electric-powered car, through the parking lot, up the elevator to the fourth floor, a broadcaster of import, a broadcaster who is a legend, ladies and gentlemen, Pierre Robert. Woo!
Not going to get any better than that.
Nah, nah.
I can go home now.
I'm not doing anything. That's it. I can't top that. No way.
That's it. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for coming.
Now, but it says here you'll have tickets to that show that I just mentioned to give
for
away
the second
today,
time
today and all next week. Plus, throughout the weekend, your chance to win, too. So, sorry, I didn't mean to take away from your list of things you were going to mention that you have coming up on your show today.
I was going to mention that. So, that's good.
All right.
We've covered that.
How about we do the letter today? We have not covered that.
Yep.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
That's like that Carson thing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Karnak.
Yeah. H for happy.
All right. And let's take caller 10 at 215-263-WMMR and let you take first shot at it. And we'll see if you can win the Word of the Week prize. So once again, it's caller number 10, 215-263-WMMR. So we're getting ready for the weekend. How are you today, sir? You in the weekend frame mind?
I'm framing.
All right.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Are you kids ready?
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Am I?
Well, I mean, but you're already busy. You're out tonight, Nick, and tomorrow with the walk. You guys are out for the walk tomorrow. So,
and Casey and I have NASCAR on Sunday.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, they're driving.
Yeah, no, we're not driving, but we do get to take a bunch of listeners and hang in a suite, which is really cool. Hopefully the weather will cooperate on Sunday.
Yeah, they don't like them racing. They don't like them going, 180 miles an hour when it's wet. So, it happens. Yeah. So I guess we'll ask what you have coming up on today's program.
Yes.
You don't quite know yet, do you?
No, I do.
You do. You just are so excited about it. You were taken aback by the opportunity.
I was thinking of Yes, the band.
Ah.
But they're not going to be on the program.
Oh, you're just thinking about it.
I was thinking about it. I've seen All Good People. I don't know. I just was thinking about it. I feel roundabout. But I am really thinking what I'll do is Motley Crue because Mick Mars has got a birthday. So we're going to celebrate that.
He's going to be, I'm sorry to interrupt.
110?
Yeah, I think he's going to be 68.
He doesn't look a day under 130.
Something like that.
Did you see The Dirt yet, the movie on Netflix?
Not.
Okay. Yes, and his depiction is actually pretty amusing.
Yeah.
Because early on he finds out he has this degenerative disease, which is a fact. And the guy playing him, I thought, did a really good job. You liked him, Preston?
He's great.
Yeah,
if you watch Game of Thrones, he's a guy who plays Ramsay Bolton, who is quite possibly one of the most despised characters in that entire series. Is just brutally ruthless, and I loved him in this as Mick Mars, because he's Mick Mars is just kind of this curmudgeon-y. In fact, at the very beginning, they go, that's our guitarist Mick. He's an alien just because he's so bizarre. But he was much older than the other guys. It's I don't know if you would like The Dirt or not. I loved it in its
rawness,
and it's rawness and that time and the fun that they have with it, and they break the fourth wall a lot and talk directly to the viewer and just kind of going, it was the 80s, we did stupid stuff,
I want to see
it. I enjoyed it. Cool.
In fact, one of our we didn't get to, but one of our listener memories that I was attempting to share on our birthday and we just ran out of time was the guy that we put in the roller coaster Tommy Lee.
The drum kit.
The
drum.
Yeah.
Yes.
The roller coaster drum kit. I mean, yet another, it just occurred to me, of the amazing prizes MMR's given out, amazing opportunities for listeners. And this kid was ear to ear. I was covering it live as it happened, and his smile was ear to ear as he's in, the drum kit with Tommy Lee going around like a roller coaster.
When we had 6 a.m. play the MMRBQ, I saw Nikki Six in the catering area. And he was just kind of hanging out. So I went over and talked to him. I didn't bug him, but we had interviewed him like the week before. And he was a really nice guy, got a great picture and everything. But what I remember about that is they played the MMRBQ kind of like a midway through the show set. So they had the rest of the night left. They went off and then they played a gig at the Fillmore.
That's right.
And then after they played that, they went out in the parking lot and did a set for after the show fans. They played three shows in one day. I was impressed by that.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That shows how much they love it.
Right.
How he loves it.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Good point. I had forgotten about that. So we'll have Motley Crue. We will have a block of Green Day. Mike Dirnt has a birthday coming up. And also, since you announced that very special STP show is coming our way in Rival Sons, which goes on sale today at noon. I think we'll start at noon with a block of Stone Temple Pilots and give out those tickets that I have.
Phenomenal.
Yo-ho. Right,
we're going to go to the phones and see if we can get an answer or get a word. That's what we're looking for. And caller number 10 is who we're going to, and that's Scott. Hey, Scott. Huh? All right, so Scott, what's the word of the week, man?
It's birth.
Great day in the morning.
That is correct. It's birth. Scott. This is a really cool prize, man. We have a Valencia model foosball table from Olhausen Billiards, valued at about $1,200. It's from Royal Billiard and Recreation. What do you think about that?
My daughter's going to love it.
That's phenomenal. Excellent. And it's a family. Playing the foosball is a lot of fun. You guys, you two will enjoy it. So hang on the line. We'll get your information. And don't forget that Royal Billiard and Recreation is your ultimate game room store, and they're having their annual store-wide sale, which is today through the 5th, and you can stock up on fun at Royal Billiard and Recreation. So visit royalbilliard.com for all of the details. Anything else we need to hit, Pierre? You good?
I think we're groovy.
All right, cool. Let me take a moment to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And also Chorus Photography, the official photographers of the Preston and Steve Show. Next week, we're currently in the planning stages of what we have coming up, but I know for sure that we have a live broadcast 1 week from today. Our friends of Subaru at America are going to be hosting us because of their amazing and generous contribution that they had once again at the Camp Out for Hunger.
We love them.
This past December. So we're looking forward to that. Should be a lot of fun. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have yourself a great weekend, gang. We'll see ya.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Hey, this is a message from Mother Nature. Can you please stop raining on Sundays? I'd like to enjoy my only day off. It rains every Sunday, guys. Every Sunday.
Next message.
I'm going to be the nerd and say thank you to Marvel for giving me the best years of my life. Just saw Endgame last night, and it blew my mind.
Next message.
I love getting out of work early on a Friday. When I still hit traffic, because we got Sunday drivers out here cruising along, not even doing the speed limit. They're just like, yeah, I'll get there when I get there. You, guy. I want to go home and start drinking. Boom!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line. Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.